Making Sense Common Again. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it is Friday, the 26th of March, year of our Lord 2021, day 377, with America held hostage. Today we're going to be joined by Gerald Celente. We're going to take a look at a couple of anniversaries of the tax increases coming from Biden. You know, Biden giveth and Biden taketh away. Take a look at the press conference, as well as the insanity that is going on at the border and in every area of politics. We'll be right back. Stay with us. You know, as we see total chaos at the border, the Biden press conference was, on the other hand, very controlled. And if we're unable to control the border, perhaps since there's such a large percentage of the people coming across are testing positive, and it seems like the CDC cares so dearly about that that they'll lock down the entire country, maybe they could lock down the border. You know, the CDC is telling cruise lines that they'll not be able to have any cruise ships departing from American ports until at least November. We forget about the 2 weeks that we were told to lock down, a year ago. Seems like many years. But if that's the way that they're going to do this, I mean, the CDC can do anything it wants, right? They don't have to get the permission of the Supreme Court. They don't have to get permission from Congress. They just say it, and it happens. They can control cruise ships on the high seas. They can control landlords and evictions. They've assumed to themselves all power, so why can't they control the border instead of Kamala, right? Biden should have, if he doesn't know what to do, he should have given it to the CDC, not to Kamala. We have USA Today, an amazing piece that was written by the people that I just pointed out, USA Today affiliates, even though they appear to be different news organizations and different regional papers. They've been bought up. And so they're putting out template articles, just like we saw Sinclair Broadcasting do a few years ago with broadcast media. And so now USA Today is putting out template news to push the idea that there is a rash of gun shootings. And I'm not talking about the fact that we've had two in the last week, but I'm talking about before that even. And to talk about how there's a surge locally in each of these local areas. So something has to be done locally. Not even talking about these two particular incidents. And now you have a sports writer, a young woman from India, who's writing about basketball. I don't know if she's ever played it or not, but she's writing about the NCAA basketball tournament, and she's upset about a Cinderella team that's there from Oral Roberts University. They've had some very big wins over... They were rated at the very bottom of the seed, and they've had some very big wins, and so they are looking like a Cinderella team, and she's upset about that because this college is just too Christian, too hateful for the LGBT. They need to be purged and canceled, and that's exactly what will happen with the Equality Act. And at the same time, taking on this Cinderella team, we have the Rodgers and Hammerstein version of Cinderella, being purged for being too white. They just can't win anymore. You got openly racist Senator Duckworth, who says she's not going to vote for any Biden nominees that are white unless they're LGBT white. And at the same time, she introduces a bill to stop the Hyde Amendment, which blocks funding of abortions internally in the United States. She wants them funded. because she's upset that Planned Parenthood's black genocide is not being funded by the U.S. government. This woman, who is so concerned about people of color, wants to make sure that we abort people of color. But this is how insane all of this is. We have babies, more stories of babies being separated from their parents at the hospital because they tested positive, but of course, there's nothing to see at the borders with a positive test. No actions taken there. A lot of children who have been separated from their parents, a lot of children who've been turned over by their parents to child traffickers, but we're not concerned about that, right? Let's take a look at the Biden press conference here. Really not too much to see, as I said, because it was so controlled. A lot of people are, depending on who you look at, and I've looked at some of these clips, and clearly Joe Biden is not the guy that he was just a few years ago. That's pretty obvious. But it's also, I don't think that we should celebrate somebody's cognitive decline. It certainly doesn't look like... He's not qualified to be president, folks, because he doesn't believe in natural rights. He is was very angry at Clarence Thomas decades ago because Thomas supported those ideas, the principles of the Declaration of Independence. And, of course, he's the person who has, more than anyone else, put in the police and surveillance state and the prison state, turning the U.S. into the biggest prison complex we've ever seen. He's now been rewarded. Handed the presidency. That's what we should have a problem with. We should have a problem with that. And so it bothers me to see the conservative media hammering him whenever he stutters. And he did have a moment, but I mean, he was on for an hour or so talking. And is that really what it's come to with the Republican Party? Is that really what conservative talk radio and President Trump has turned us into? We can't talk about policy. We can't talk about liberty and the Constitution. We got to criticize somebody and call them names, childishly calling them names, as Trump did. And that's really what I see happening in the mainstream media. You know, it says, I believe we ought to go back to what existed when I came to the Senate 120 years ago. And he says that without any smile or sense of irony. But that's not the real issue. The real issue is what he's talking about in terms of things like the filibuster, for example. He seemed to spend a lot of time obsessed with that because that is the Senate is the last little bit of opposition that's left to the Democrats. And the little bit of opposition that they have in this 50-50 split is centered around the filibuster. So the filibuster is what he's going to focus on. And so as he's talking about this and talking about how the filibuster has been abused in a gigantic way last year, and because we've got to stop that, people point out, well, all of the filibusters last year that you're concerned about and how it was being abused and how the number of filibusters that were invoked last year, every single one of those filibusters came from the Democrats last year. It's one of the ways that the minority party has of slowing things down and to make sure that we don't rush through an agenda. And quite frankly, that's a good thing. Division of power, not racing off full long into the latest fad, that is something we ought to applaud. But, of course, these people are activists, and they cannot change this country quickly enough. As one person pointed out, this is Senator Ben Sasse, he said Biden was a relentless defender of the filibuster, but now as president, that was when he was senator, he looks in the mirror and he sees FDR. And so now he's trying to do a complete 180 to blow up the institution that he spent years in and years defending. And so basically when you look at the press conference, and it was pretty much a joke. It was held in a small room. People were in individual seats, a few people, very few people, about 10 feet apart, the new rules. And as RT aptly summarizes, it was a big yawn. You had loyal media there, in a sycophantic display of verbal bootlicking, because he called on people by name. He only called on the people that he wanted to hear. There were no tough questions. Controversial topics, such as Biden calling Putin a killer. Controversial topics they don't mention here, but the idea that the Biden administration would say that they're going to launch cyber attacks against Russia, even after Biden and Obama said that any cyber attack launched by a foreign power would be the same as launching a physical attack. I mean, he's literally threatened to start war with Russia. People should be concerned about that. That's a pretty irresponsible thing, don't you think? Remember how the press is so upset about President Trump intimidating Kim Jong-un, who was recklessly firing missiles towards Japan and other places, and it got him to stop? But oh no, he's risking a world war. Those people didn't have the capability of attacking the United States, but Russia does. Why would you pick a fight with them unless you do want to start World War III? The real issue, and it pointed out at the time, if you're going to threaten, if you're going to say that a cyber attack is the same as launching a physical attack on us, the problem with that is that you can't tell where these cyber attacks come from. It's too easy for the NSA and the CIA and others of the so-called intelligence community. I just like to call it the CIA. I mean, even fold in the NSA into that now because they all operate the same way. But if you're going to have these spooks who can spoof anybody, they can make it look, and we've seen the documentation. They're so good at what they do, right? So good at what they do that their own documents and their own software got hacked. Now, if you're going to have a situation where the NSA itself and the CIA gets its pants pulled down in public and it gets its picture flashed all over the world, which is what happened with Vault 7. We saw at first the capabilities of the program and its documentation, but not the code. And then the code itself was released. And so now anybody has the capability to spoof any major state. And in that kind of a situation, you're going to allow some individual or some group or some any other country to pretend that they're a different country and then attack the United States, and the United States goes and attacks them. You cannot determine where these attacks are coming from, especially with this software. And so it was very irresponsible to say that you would respond to that. But it's even more irresponsible to say, we're going to do the attack. Now you don't even have a defense if Russia gets attacked. And you're the one saying that's the same thing as a literal attack, physical attack. So they didn't talk about what's going on with Iran. There's no questions about that. No questions about Biden's gun control in America. None of that was addressed. He was given a series of softball questions about the deteriorating situation on the southern border. And given plenty of space, as RT says, to articulate his position on China, infrastructure, and the filibuster. No serious effort to follow through on any part by any of the reporters, because the president was working on a list of carefully vetted journalists whom he called out by name, avoiding any questions from anyone who might be deemed as ideologically opposed. Think about that and contrast that to the legend, don't know if it's true or not, about the founding of the White House press corps. It goes back to Teddy Roosevelt. He was walking around the White House grounds. He stumbled around across a group of reporters who were standing in the rain, waiting for sources to give them some information. So he invited them inside and took questions. See, that's the kind of presence we used to have. Now, we used to have situations where they didn't try to kill anybody that, you know, weren't surrounded with armed guards trying to protect them from killing other people, because we were not going around the world killing everybody that we came across for whatever our political purposes were. Let's take a quick look, though, at the border. There was a little bit of talk about this. And again, remember that since the CDC has the power to do anything without any checks or balances, and since the CDC can lock down Americans, the CDC can tell us that we cannot travel on planes as Americans internally. Since they can lock down the borders, which is what President Trump did, he was so proud of that. That was his first move, a direct move that he took, besides the executive order, which financed the governors to do all the insanity and gave them the presumed legal authority to continue it forever. But yeah, he closed the borders as well. So with all this going on, I mean, don't you think that since we have a crisis, they would be the ones that you'd want to turn to? They can tell you what you can and cannot do. You can't go to school. You can't have a job. You can't travel. You can't go even on a cruise ship, right? So why not at the border when we have a massive number of people going across. And I say this sarcastically. I'm not concerned about people coming across the border with COVID because I'm not concerned about COVID. It's easily treated. This is not a pandemic. And it bothers me to see the fear-mongering going on by Breitbart and other organizations who are pushing that narrative. They're going to create a plague. We got to stop this. No, it is a serious situation when you have so many people coming in. Based on a Gallup poll, they polled people in Central and South America, the Gallup poll organization, Central South America and the Caribbean, 33 countries, about 450 million people in those countries. And they asked them if they would like to move to another country permanently. And 27% of them said yes. That's 120 million people that would like to move somewhere else. And of those, 35% said they'd like to go to the U.S. permanently. Now, if you've got 42 million people coming to our country, and we have maybe about 330 million people, you're increasing our population by about 15%. Can we handle a massive influx of people of 15% economically? Most of these people who want to come, the reason they want to come is because they don't have anything. Every other country, even Belize. And I investigated quite a few of these back in the mid-90s, early to mid-90s. I was thinking about leaving the U.S. at that point in time. In the wake of Ruby Ridge and Waco, I thought our government was hopelessly out of control. I was right, by the way. But I looked around at different countries. New Zealand was the one that we were most interested in until we went down there and talked to people about what was happening politically, realized that they didn't respect freedom either. We've now seen that with the pandemic. But I looked at a lot of different countries. Belize, I even took a pass. But even a place like Belize, where John McAfee went, you have to show that you can support yourself. There isn't any country in the world other than the European countries now with these open borders and the U.S. that would allow people to come in who can't support themselves. We're going to come in as dependents. Nobody else does that for obvious reasons. And they also have limits on the number of people who will come in because they don't want to completely lose their country. If you increase in one surge the population of your country by 15%, that will basically be the end of America. That's the way that they're going to erase America, because they're going to have a different culture, a different view of law. They're going to not speak the language. You know, we talk about barbarians at the gate. That's not saying people that are unsophisticated. That barbarian was a term that came from the Greeks. It's simply talking about people who didn't speak their language. They listened to foreigners and said, yeah, it sounded like they're going, ba, 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 ba. Barbarians, ba, 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 ba. And they're just babblers, right, from their perspective. But what we're talking about is flooding a country with about a 15% increase all at once. It will destroy us economically, culturally, legally, politically, in every respect, because that is the intention of the Democrats to do that, and that's the most effective way they can do it. And so when we look at what Biden is saying, you know, he has at the very beginning used his executive authority to stop building the wall. I don't think the wall was, I never thought that the wall was a smart idea, even though Trump was doing it. It was more than anything, it was a symbol of trying to do something about the border crisis, because people can go over the wall, they can go under the wall. We've seen pictures of people scaling his big, beautiful wall. It's going to take too long to build the wall. I said from the very beginning, if you want to stop the caravans, you just pull the troops back from Afghanistan or Iraq or from Washington, D.C., and you put them at the border, and you just have people there saying, sorry, you can't come in. It's just that simple, and you could do it immediately. And then you could take your time building the wall if you wanted to. It's kind of interesting to me that everybody was so freaked out about, do you remember the amount that Trump wanted for the border wall was $20 billion and how they all freaked out about that? We can't possibly find $20 billion in a Pentagon budget that's approaching $800 billion. How could we possibly do that to defend the country? It was absurd. But it wasn't long before Trump threw $20 billion to the vaccine movement, to big pharmaceutical companies. Nobody said a thing about that. There were no challenges in the courts from either party. Everybody was just fine with that. Boy, they had a fit when it was $20 billion. And I pointed out at the time, I said, that's chump change the way these people spend money. But they wanted that $20 billion plus much more. And to have the troops, to use the troops, to repurpose the troops, to deliver and even to inject the vaccines into Americans. You can't use the troops to protect the border, but you can use the troops to distribute a genetic modification injection and actually administer it. An experimental, untested vaccine that was funded by tens of billions of dollars to the right people. Now, the problem at the border, again, it's the massive surge and the fact that people are not coming because they want to be a part of the culture. They're not coming because they want to be free. They're coming because they want free stuff. That's a big difference in motivation. And because they don't want the American culture. They don't want to assimilate. But you can't have uncontrolled immigration. And but the problem is the wall is not the issue. The problem is we've got a big magnet that's pulling them in. We're incentivizing them. Both the Republicans and the Democrats and special interests behind both of these parties are pulling people in. And they want cheap labor, and they want voters that they can use, and they want division in the country that they can exploit. And that's the problem. We've incentivized it. You could just stop incentivizing it, and these people would not come. But if you're going to offer them money and jobs, they'd be idiots not to come. And they will find a way to come. People can always overcome these barriers. You want to make a high-tech wall? They can overcome that as well. Biden, meanwhile, is sending mixed messages. He says Mexico should take back all the migrant families after he ended the Remain in Mexico program. And so he's got people on the left angry with him as well. People on the left and the right are upset, and rightfully so, about the secrecy of the Biden administration, the fact that they will not allow any pictures of what's going on. What are you trying to hide? Obviously, he is hiding what is going on there. An ACLU attorney says, we put our Title 42 case for families on temporary hold in exchange for good faith promises to negotiate. But the president just said that his hope is that the U.S. wants to expel all families if Mexico will allow them. Then litigation may be the only choice, they said. But they don't understand what's going on. You know, you have conditions that are far worse than the ones under Obama and under Trump happening right now. He prohibits anybody from being able to photograph that. It's a complete cover-up. And so people on both sides of the immigration issue are rightfully upset with what he's doing. My administration's border conditions, he said, are unacceptable. Even Biden is upset with what he's doing at the border, he said in the press conference yesterday. One person, Cecilia Vega from ABC News, said, you mentioned circumstances that must be horrific. The Customs and Border Protection Facility in Donna, Texas, is at 1,556% capacity. See that? As one of the articles pointed out, the pandemic was not even discussed in this press conference. Not at all. Not at all. We have the entire country locked down. The border, on the other hand, is completely open. Do you see how they're trying to destroy this country? We're not essential. But people coming in from other countries, that is essential. There is no overcrowding in the hospitals. There never was. We've had doctors who have now ended their career to explain that information. We had people like Jason Goodman and many other citizen journalists in this country and other countries going around showing that the hospitals are not overcrowded. They were empty, as a matter of fact. They emptied the hospitals and then incentivized them to identify people as COVID patients so they could get a bonus, and they needed a bonus when they couldn't do other things financially. So they gave them a carrot and a stick to push this narrative, and they did. But it wasn't just the citizen journalists going around. This time a year ago, they had resistance in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I played the clip at the time of a nurse who said, we're not busy. We're usually a lot more busy than this time of year. with respiratory illnesses and other things. We're not busy at all. And she was at an anti-lockdown rally, and as she's speaking, she gets a phone call from her supervisor asking if she can give up the hours that she's scheduled to work today because they simply don't need her. She said, this is a pandemic, and you're locking us down? You're locking down businesses? We're not busy at all. But you have overcrowding at the border facilities. They're at 1,500% capacity. 1,500%. That's 15 times capacity. Because the country is locked down, but the borders are not. She said there's, now this is the reporter saying this, from ABC, 1,500% capacity. This is not Breitbart, this is ABC News. There are unaccompanied minors sleeping on the floor. They're packed into pods. I've spoken to lawyers who say some of these children have not seen the sun in days. Welcome to America. Wait until you become an American citizen. Then you're going to find out what real lockdown's about. What's your reaction to these images that have come out from that particular facility? Is what's happening inside acceptable to you? When is it going to be fixed? Biden says, well, that's a serious question. Is this acceptable? Come on. This is totally unacceptable. He'll start slapping himself like Alex Jones. That's what I want to see at the press conference. I want to see, you know, Biden slapping himself. Of course, they really would pull in the 25th Amendment and take him out. Anyway, what are we going to do about this? Well, obviously nothing, because that's part of the plan. That's absolutely part of the plan. He is increasing the movement to take everything from us. Which brings us to our psycho update. And let's, can you fire that psycho thing for me, Travis? Let's go to our psycho update. They're not working.
Watching me. Well, let them. Let them see what kind of a person I am. I'm not even going to swat that fly. I hope they are watching. They'll see. They'll see and they'll know. And they'll say, why, she wouldn't even harm a fly.
That's right, and he is now Assistant HHS Director. We have a psycho. And, you know, Levine is we'll see. He's harmless as a fly. He doesn't want to harm children. He doesn't want to give very, very young children hormones to permanently alter them. No. We should be proud of the fact that the psycho transgender doctor is now going to be our first psycho transgender doctor. 52-48, the Republicans, two of them joined, Murkowski of Alaska, Collins of Maine, have joined to celebrate the diversity, the insanity. A challenging moment, writes AP News. This is, it comes at a challenging moment for transgender rights as those that are, the states that are under Republican control are considering an unprecedented wave of bills targeting trans young people. As if this was the normal state, this psycho state that we're in. And that the GOP has now decided to attack this. Right? Everything was just fine until we had Republicans who decided that they wanted to come after trans young people, according to the AP. Normality has been attacked. It is an offensive move by the Republicans. No, it is an LGBT offensive move. They said one such measure has already been signed into law by Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves. Similar measures have been sent to other governors in Tennessee and Arkansas. But, of course, in South Dakota, Kristi Noem has perhaps ended any hope that she might have of moving on to become a presidential candidate by caving on this. Because, folks, this is at the center of what is happening with the Equality Act, which... Again, the Associated Press, they love to play with terms, don't they? They love to redefine things. You don't have illegal immigrants. You have undocumented aliens and all these other things. They will not allow you to call yourself pro-life. You're not pro-life, says the AP in their style sheets. Do not use the term pro-life. You call people who are pro-life, you call them anti-abortion rights individuals. That's the way that they rig. So you're not pro-life. You're not pro-family. You're not pro-Bible. You are targeting trans youth. You are anti-abortion rights. And so they say the Equality Act is being targeted by these Republicans as well, simply because it would extend federal civil rights protections to LGBT. No. It's to take rights away from and to target religious communities. That's the whole purpose of this. These people do not want to be tolerated. They demand that you celebrate them, and they will not tolerate what you do. They have absolutely no tolerance for what you do. They accuse you of being hateful. They accuse you of bullying, and yet they're the ones who are projecting their hatred, their bullying, just like they project their racism. You have a transgender student winning a $300,000 settlement in Minnesota from a school district because of being barred from using a boy's locker. So this would be a girl who wants to get into a boy's locker and now wins $300,000 for that. So yeah, they're being bullied, right? Here's your $300,000 check because you couldn't shower people of the opposite sex in high school. So the Senate confirms transgender man Rachel Levine to his HHS post. I'm glad that they put that there. Because we have to not live by this lie. That's the LifeSite news headline. Most of them will say, refer to Levine using female pronouns and that sort of thing. I refuse to do that. I don't care who turns me off. I don't care who cancels me, who fires me. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to live by a lie. I'm not going to embrace this insanity. I'm not going to refer to Norman Bates as Mrs. Bates. Sorry. This guy is a psycho pedophile and a child abuser, and now he's number two at HHS. He promotes the notion that children, can change their gender. And that is nothing other than a placeholder. And I'm telling you, it's as obvious as it can be. The same way that the masks are a placeholder, the same way they say, well, you know, the masks don't protect you, they protect other people. And they've been saying this all along about the vaccines. You know that the mask is a placeholder for the vaccine. You know that the mask mandates are a placeholder for the vaccine mandates. And when they say that a child in kindergarten can determine what gender they are and then change their physical sex and start taking hormones and chemicals that are going to have very, very serious health issues for them at that young age and very serious life-altering issues for them, psychologically, spiritually, and otherwise, for the rest of their life, to say that they can make that decision, you're then implying that they can make a decision to have consensual sex with an adult. This is a pedophile agenda. This is not about the rights of Levine to dress up like a woman and then to applaud that. So we saw Rand Paul asking him very pointed questions. Do you believe that minors are capable of making such a life-changing decision as changing one's sex? And, of course, Levine had a prepared script. He avoided that not once but multiple times. Every time Paul would ask him a very pointed, obvious question, he'd just repeat, it's a very complex and nuanced field with robust research and standards of care. And I will talk to you privately about that, and only privately about it. See? We'll all see. Levine wouldn't even harm a fly, let alone a little child that he wants to abuse. And so when we look at how this is playing out, the Tucker Carlson had on the South Dakota governor, who said she just, you know, even though the legislature passed the bill saying that they were going to protect women's sports. See, this is the intersectionality aspect of it. It's not just about putting people into groups instead of as individuals. You put them in different groups. And then intersectionality ranks those groups. And so women who used to be with this crowd, they used to be at the top. They're one of the highest ranked boxes. But now they've been shoved down. And they put the transgenders at the top. They're the pinnacle. And so if you, it's just like just like cards. You know, you have the ace, you have the king, the queen, the jack, and so forth. There's a ranking. And that's exactly what they have in this deck that they're shuffling around all. And they're constantly changing the rankings. You know, the women can't believe that they were on the top just a short while ago, and now they've been shoved down in the intersectional ranking. How did that happen? And it's also the number of boxes that you check. But there's a ranking of each of these boxes. And so Tucker Carlson said, you have a Democrat process that arose from your own citizens. They want this bill, but you stopped it. And he said, I can't do anything about it because it's all about the NCAA. This was a bill, by the way, that was sponsored by two women in the legislature. They called it the Women's Fairness in Sports Bill. Rhonda Milstead, Maggie Sutton, Governor Noem, Kristi Noem, tweeted her response to the victory, said she was excited, she would be signing it into law, but she said, came back after she'd been hammered by the people, the intersectional transgenders, coming after the intersectional feminists. She says, unfortunately, I've studied this legislation and conferred with legal experts over the past several days. She said, South Dakota has shown that our student athletes can compete with anyone in the country, but competing on the national stage means compliance with the national governing bodies that oversee college athletics. And she said that if they did not remove that language, they would not be allowed to compete by the NCAA. However, people who have pushed back against this, many accused her of gaslighting Tucker Carlson and his viewers. Pullman said it is deliberately misleading to assert that the NCAA would retaliate for this bill's passage when states like Idaho, Mississippi have also passed similar laws and their college women are still playing NCAA sports. Right? How could you say that? You can't. Noem is attempting to make public the belief that the NCAA requires participating sports teams to allow transgender athletes, and this is false. If the NCAA threatened her with legal action, then the NCAA should be pressed to account for why they threatened South Dakota, but not Idaho and not Mississippi, who have done this, who have done what she refused to do. Why did they threaten her only? And they said, and she needs to do this with legal action, not with a mean press release, but with legal action. Why are you singling out my state for punishment? Why are you trying to intimidate us when you didn't do this in Mississippi or Idaho? See, there's something else going on here. It's not just the political pandering, but she's got a couple of advisors who are tied into this as well. Her top advisor is controversial behind-the-scenes power broker Matt McCauley. His clients include a company that owns the Sanford Sports Complex Arena, and it hopes to have NCAA tournaments there. And she also has a chief of staff who is on the board of the Sioux Falls Chamber of Commerce, which is adamant that they do not want to have women be able, biological women only, competing with other biological women. They're adamant about that. But you want to talk about the NCAA? Let's talk about the NCAA. Let's talk about the fact that it's not enough that she's saying, well, you know, the NCAA would basically shut us down. And that day is coming if the Equality Act passes. That will happen, believe me. And it will happen that they will shut down Christian universities as well because you've got USA Today demanding that they kick out a Christian university, Oral Roberts University, because they've now risen in the basketball tournament. I don't follow it, so this article was written 2 days ago. They may have lost at this point in time. I don't know. I don't even know when they play their games. I don't really care. But it's March Madness, right? They have the NCAA tournament. And this year's Cinderella story is a tiny university, Oral Roberts University. As this USA Today reporter writes, part of the joy of March Madness is always watching smaller schools upset powerhouse programs. And Oral Roberts, which was a 15 seed, destroyed number 2 Ohio State and now enters the Sweet 16 after defeating number 7 seed Florida last Sunday. And so she said, yet as the spotlight grows, and as everybody is now rooting for this Cinderella team, and it's reaping the goodwill, the publicity, and the revenue of a national title run, the university is deeply bigoted, and anti-LGBT policies cannot and should not be ignored. And so the Christian school upholds the values and the beliefs of its fundamental namesake, Oral Roberts, making it not a just a relic of the past, but wholly incompatible with NCAA's own stated values of equality and inclusion. Do we have to purge Christians, people who uphold Christian values and biblical values? We have to purge them in the name of inclusion. We have to hate them because we say that they are hateful. He said, while the school has been soundly mocked on social media for its archaic standards of behavior and code of conduct that ban profanity, social dancing, and shorts in classrooms, it is the school's discriminatory and hateful anti-LGBT policy. She said, twice in their handbook, Oral Roberts University specifically prohibits homosexuality. You know, if you're going to ban a basketball team for doing that, if you're going to call them hateful, if their handbook bans homosexual activity twice, the Bible bans that more than twice. She's indirectly calling these same ideas will ban the Bible. The school expressly condemns homosexuality, as the Bible does, mentioning it in the same breath as occult practices. Yeah, it's listed in a long list of sins in both the Bible and their handbook. This is what their handbook says. She quotes, certain behaviors are expressly prohibited in the scripture, therefore should be avoided by members of the university. They include theft, lying, dishonesty, gossip, slander, backbiting, profanity, vulgarity, sexual promiscuity, including adultery and any homosexual behavior, premarital sex, drunkenness, immodesty of dress, and occult practices. So she's got a problem with that. You're not allowed to have religious beliefs. You're not allowed to have a moral code because she's got one, and you're going to live by her code. She says, as part of their honor code, the university requires students to abide by a pledge saying that they will not engage in homosexual activity, that they will not be united in marriage other than marriage between one man and one woman. And then she quotes it again. I will not take any illegal drugs or misuse any drugs. I will not engage in or attempt to engage in any illicit, unscriptural sexual acts, which include any homosexual activity, sexual intercourse with one who is not my spouse. I will not be united in marriage other than in marriage between one man and one woman. I will not drink alcoholic beverages. I will not use tobacco, and so on and so on. She said, they've gained national attention now, but the focus should not be on how good their basketball team is, but on their prejudiced teachings and their moral regressiveness. She said that Oral Roberts wants to keep its students tied to toxic notions of fundamentalism that fetishize chastity, abstinence, and absurd hemlines is a larger cultural issue that can be debated. But what is not up for debate, what cannot be allowed, is their anti-LGBT stance. It is nothing short of discriminatory and should be expressly condemned by the NCAA. And it will be made illegal by the Equality Act. This is what is coming with the Democratic Equality Act. The fact that you are not going to debate or even try to shame people if you disagree with them. No. You will just ban them. So the NCAA has always been paying lip service to the ideals of equality. But she said, yet Oral Roberts, with its decrees banning homosexual conduct, stating that marriage is only between a man and a woman, and banning male students from wearing makeup, marriage between a man and a woman, and banning sexual activity, heterosexual as well as homosexual, outside of marriage, that is beyond the pale for her. She says the fact is that any and all anti-LGBT language in any school's policy should ban them from NCAA competition. However accomplished its young student athletes are, the school is a hotbed of institutional transphobia, homophobia, and regressive sexist policies. There is no way to separate the men's basketball team from the dangers of their religious beliefs. This is where we're headed, folks. And when you look at Kristi Noem, it's not a minor issue that she would cave to this kind of attitude, that she would bow to the NCAA. Since when does the NCAA have the power to tell the governor of a state what they can do? And since when do we allow the reward of being able to play a silly game? When do we allow that to take precedence over our religious and moral beliefs? What are our values with this? It's just absolutely stunning to me. And as much as I like what she did with opposing the pandemic, and she made a principled statement about the pandemic, but if you don't have a principled statement to oppose this kind of Marxism, this kind of bigotry, hatefulness, and intolerance that is expressed by this sports writer at USA Today, that is expressed in the Equality Act, that is implicit in these demands that are being made on young children. Yeah, let the men in the locker room and the shower with your daughters. Let the pedophile psychologists like Levin, let them have at it with your young children. If you're going to accept that, there is absolutely no way that she's qualified to be dog catcher. Dog catcher. New American talks about this USA Today article, and they had some great quotes. Here's one from George Washington, because she's very upset about the fact that you have these antiquated ideas about profanity, right? You know that George Washington issued an order to his soldiers in 1776? He said, profanity is a foolish and wicked practice. It is a vice so mean and low, without any temptation, that every man of sense and character detests and despises it. So yeah, tear down his statues too, because obviously he's a relic from a previous time. You know, I have a real issue with people who do it in the organization I used to work for at InfoWars, and it's still happening. And anytime I criticize something that a public organization that has a lot of influence on people, anytime I criticize that, I'm just a disgruntled former employee. And I got to say, and I said it when I saw Harrison, who took my place at InfoWars. Yeah, it was all about money. They had to shut down the program, right? But he took my place, and I'm not upset about that. I mean, I really do like Harrison, and I was sad to see how he was being influenced by the corporate culture there at InfoWars. That begins at the top. Because he put out a statement. He was upset about the intimidation. It was a video. It was the intimidation, ridiculous intimidation of the conservative member of Congress that everybody is coming after, Marjorie Taylor Greene. And so they marched down some soldiers to intimidate her in a stunt. And so he put that up, and he was angry about that, and he begins by saying Jesus Christ as a swear word. Right? Now, when you do that, you're not angry to write something like that. You do a headline or you do a report. And, you know, I know Harrison went to his, happy to go to his wedding as a Christian service. And I hate to see that type of thing happening. And so I responded. I said, come on, Harrison, you're better than this. I didn't put it on my feed. I just put a comment under his thing. I said, don't let Alex Jones influence you like this. I said, I opposed him to his face, and I did. 3 years ago when Paul Joseph Watson started doing that. He put out a thing, Jesus effing Christ. And I told Alex at the time, I said, Alex, you say you're a Christian. You talk about it all the time. So why would you do this, and why would you allow people working for you to do this? It's become a thing. Because they think, unlike the time of George Washington, they don't think that it is despicable and indicates low character. There is something about Jesus' name that doesn't really ring with Buddha. Why is it that people don't swear by Buddha or by Muhammad? Why is that? We had some friends, Christian friends. She grew up in Japan. She's Japanese. And she said that, even in Japan, where there are very, very few Christians, and they had a different religion, but they didn't swear by anybody in their religion. You know who they swore by? Jesus Christ. What is the power of that name? And I had a couple of people who immediately accused me of being a disgruntled employee. And I said, absolutely right. I should never criticize Alex Jones or Donald Trump, no matter what they do, especially if they drag Jesus' name into the mud. Because InfoWars and President Trump are so much more important than the Lord of the universe. I should never say that. Right? I just don't get it, quite frankly. I don't get it. You know, it's not just the profanity. It's not just dragging his name through the mud. But it is also, you know, you want to call yourself a Christian. That's a contraction from a Greek name. Just like we have anthropology, right? So what it meant was Christ's men. If you call yourself Christ's man, why are you going to drag his name through the mud? That's really taking his name in vain, to call yourself Christ's man when you do that. But they had a couple of other good quotes here in response to this USA Today article. It's no surprise that the sexual devolutionaries would find these standards archaic. I love this quote from the author of this article, Selwyn Duke at New American. Listen to this. They only perceive the new and the archaic because they're blind to the eternal. They only perceive the new and the archaic because they're blind to the eternal. And the new is superior to them because it's of this time. And this time is superior to them because they happen to occupy it. But no amount of chronological chauvinism changes the fact that fallacies, as G.K. Chesterton put it, fallacies do not cease to be fallacies because they become fashions. But that's the world we live in, isn't it? It is fashionable to do and say and toe the line of whatever the government is selling you at any given point. And it doesn't matter if it's a lie, because it is fashionable, you better say what they're saying. He says, Chesterton also noted that the church, quote, is not merely armed against the heresies of the past or even of the present, but equally armed against those of the future that may be the exact opposite of those of the present, because it is unchanging. The truth is at present, especially apart from Haveri, that's the author of the USA Today, and her fellow travelers, they are moral relativists and nihilists. They fancy that right and wrong are synonymous with man's collective preferences and therefore change with the times. And now you know why they assume that the Constitution does the same thing as well. It's a living document, because their morals are also situational ethics that are constantly evolving. Blind to the truth, they're belligerent to truth tellers. They also assume that their values are the values of tomorrow. They assume that Christianity will disappear as modernity marches on. And they assume that they can ban and remove Christian universities and the Christian universities' accreditation, which they've already attempted to do, and to try to cancel and ban Christians from participating in sports. But you know, as he points out here, a lie has speed, but truth has endurance. Romans tried to destroy Christianity. The Nazis just tried to destroy Christianity. The Marxists of every stripe and country have just tried to destroy Christianity. And God has laughed. And let me tell you something. God is laughing right now at America. Because it's not just these Democrats with their Equality Act. It's not just the USA Today reporter. This majority of Republicans, and I'm talking about the Republican politicians who are pandering to all of this, Republican politicians like Trump, who goes to a rally, as they show here on this LifeSite News article here, holding up that banner he's holding up is a rainbow banner that says LGBT for Trump. Trump came in proud of the fact that he supported homosexual marriage. Melania Trump, just before the election, was talking about that. He's the first president to support this even before he became president, came in supporting it. He's the first president to openly put in somebody as a homosexual in some large cabinet position. To which I say, what kind of perverted Rome on the Potomac Caligula administration cares about the sexual activities of somebody and makes that the point of putting them in to a security position? Why is that an issue? Why is that a qualification? Why is your sexual activities and proclivities, why is that one of the key considerations to putting you in or keeping you out? Right? We got to have somebody who's openly homosexual, says Trump. Keep those heterosexual guys out. I don't care what other qualifications they've got. Why is that? Now, we've even had some liberal writers in decades past saying, you know, what you do in your bedroom is, please, keep that to yourself. I don't really care. What can you do about the issue that we're talking about here, right? That should be the concern. But no, they use it for moral signaling. But now I'm talking about something that's even worse than these politicians who are pandering. I'm talking about the majority of Republican voters. The majority of Republican voters now support same-sex marriage, according to a poll released by Public Religion Research Institute. Now, this may be an organization, I've never heard of them before, this may be an organization that's doing a push poll. But they're saying for the first time, 51% of Republicans, up from 47% in 2019, support homosexual marriage. The report also claims that 62% of Republicans support LGBT non-discrimination protections in housing, careers, and public accommodations. See, I don't expect people who are not, as we become a non-Christian nation in terms of the morals and ethics that we embrace, I don't expect these people to respect the Christian ethics. They're not Christians. They don't claim to respect that. But they also don't respect the freedoms of Christians to have those beliefs either. You understand the difference there? There's one thing to say, I'm open to homosexual marriage, I'm going to be a libertarian about it, and I'm not going to try to control what other people do because I don't have any beliefs about that one way or the other. But it's a different thing then to take away the ability of other people to have the opposite belief, whatever that is. And that's what they're not supporting. They're not libertarian when they do that. If you don't support my ability to support heterosexual marriage in what I do, if you don't support my Christian beliefs, my ability to be able to talk with people, my ability to offer counseling to somebody who has been living as a homosexual, wants to live as a heterosexual, and they, as an adult, seek counsel for that, if you say that that's going to be outlawed, but then we're going to push transition on children in kindergarten, that's not libertarian. That's the most perverse double standard. You don't even have to have the Christian to manipulate children like this. That has always been beyond the pale. But the Equality Act, 62% of Republicans support, they say, the Equality Act, trying to show that this is mainstream legislation. So it may be a push poll. I don't know that that's true. But if they are getting that large a number, let me tell you, it's pretty close to it. Republican Party's national leadership, writes LifeSite News, effectively gave up making the case for preserving natural marriage because this has been the case in every society, even in Greece where homosexuality was widely allowed and respected and so forth. They never had homosexual marriage, not even in Greece. Particularly after the U.S. Supreme Court ordered all 50 states to recognize same-sex marriage in their rule. The Republicans have fallen in line. Trump was the first president to support same-sex marriage. since before taking office, he normalized the position within the conservative movement. Because, you know, if Trump says so, he's the guy that you follow, right? It's 4D chess. And it was 4D chess to put him in that position. So that he could be in that position and he could sell gun control by executive order, that he could ban items that were attachments that were never controlled, so that he could push red flag gun laws, so that he could push vaccines by Bill Gates. You had to have somebody that you trusted, a Republican. Same thing they're doing in the UK with Boris Johnson. It's a conservative party. And their prime minister, Boris Johnson, who's pushing this radical agenda. It's important to have somebody that you trust to stab you in the back. The Republican establishment that prioritizes economics over cultural matters, over liberty, over the Constitution, that doesn't care about eternal wars abroad, that Republican Party is going to compromise on these issues. Exactly right. And then when we look at where this is headed, here's a viewpoint from a Jewish organization. This is Yaakov Menken. He is managing director for the Coalition for Jewish Values. And he says the Equality Act explicitly targets people who believe the Bible, with provisions that will erase for any allowance for differences between men and women. He says, for example, they have, every year before they had COVID, shut down all these public meetings, they would have about 100,000 observant American Jews who would go to public places like the Met Stadium in New Jersey or the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, other locations across the country. They would meet to have a kind of graduation ceremony, an honoring ceremony of people who had spent 7.5 years studying the Torah. And so this would be a completion ceremony. And the Equality Act would ban this in public places, because it's not just the fact that you would have all these different life cycle events would be banned. They would be banned because they separate everything in Orthodox Judaism. Everything is separated by biological sex. And if you do that, according to the Equality Act, it will classify all venues from restaurants to catering halls to funeral homes. It can classify all those as public accommodations. And with the Equality Act, there would be a mandatory ban on division by sex. So he says this directly forbids traditional Jewish practices in any such location. So it would ban, the Equality Act would ban Jews from gathering to celebrate religious education or any other occasion according to their beliefs. Because it's not just prayer services, but family life cycle events of all kinds. From circumcision to bar mitzvahs to weddings to funerals are all divided by biological sex in Orthodox Judaism. So, if any of these public accommodations, from restaurants to stadiums to catering halls, if they were to allow that to happen, that would be banned because they're public accommodations. He said, lest you imagine that such a Jewish event would be protected by its religious nature, the act goes out of its way for the first time in history to prohibit recourse to the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And see, that was not to give us any freedom. We have religious freedom and the freedom of expression and freedom of speech and so forth. Those are rights that we have because they're natural rights, because they're God-given rights, because they're inalienable rights. The First Amendment is there to keep the government from directly attacking those. The Religious Restoration Equality Act, Religious Freedom Restoration Act, RFRA, it was put in by Bill Clinton. That is there so that if there's some kind of a neutral regulation that then impinges on somebody's religious exercise, that then that would be removed. So the First Amendment protects the government from directly coming after those rights. But this would prevent any kind of a law that was ostensibly neutral towards religion that would then burden religious exercise. But that has now been targeted and taken away specifically in the Equality Act. He said, stripping this protection from religious practice cannot be described as incidental. The Equality Act claims the notion that marriage is between a man and a woman is merely a sex stereotype. And it proclaims the notion that opposition to same-sex marriage is inherently discriminatory. Any discrimination on the basis of gender identity is likewise prohibited, even in the private sector. Thus, the Equality Act explicitly targets the Bible, calling it a bigoted document filled with discriminatory stereotypes, which is exactly what this USA Today writer just did. She said, look at this. You know, there. And what they were doing was they were just reprinting sections from the Bible into their student handbook code. She said, look what they put in there. Well, she's going to come after the original source of that as well. So specifically, explicitly targets the Bible as a bigoted document filled with discriminatory stereotypes. These include the idea that male and female sexes are biological and not psychological, that they're created with procreation in mind, that marriage is the unique holy contract between a man and a woman forming the environment in which that procreation is intended to take place. One cannot forget that which the Bible prescribes as an abomination in Leviticus. That's homosexual activity. So he says if bigots were intent on eliminating Orthodox Judaism from American soil, it would be difficult to imagine a more ruthlessly efficient tool than the Equality Act. And they are intending on eliminating not just Orthodox Judaism, but Orthodox Christianity as well, and that is by design. It is not accidental. It's intolerant, it's bigoted, and it is intentional. Here's another example. You remember the Christian Baker Masterpiece Cake Shop 3 years ago, went all the way to the Supreme Court and won, right? Because they wanted to coerce him into baking a cake to celebrate homosexual marriage. He said, I'll make a cake for anybody, but I cannot make cakes for all messages. Right, so if you want me to put a specific message on the cake, and if that message conflicts with my beliefs, I won't do that. I'll sell anybody a cake. You can walk in here. I'm not going to throw you out based on who you are or what you do. I'll sell you a cake off the counter. But you want me to make something custom for you, and you want to come in here and rub my nose in the cake? I'm not going to do that to you. And a lot of people said, yeah, that's like going into a Jewish bakery and saying, you know, I want you to do a Nazi cake or something like that. They were targeting him specifically, which is exactly what the Equality Act is about. We know exactly what these people are doing. We know exactly what Nancy Pelosi and the Democrat Party unanimously is doing in Congress. And it's the state of Colorado. And so he fought them all the way to the Supreme Court. He won in the Supreme Court. And then immediately, a lawyer who had been sending him hate mail and had been coming into the store and harassing him, who had come into the store at one point in time and wanted him to make a cake with Satan on it, performing an act of fellatio, and he refused to do that, obviously. And so this lawyer comes in and says, I want you to make me a cake for the anniversary of my gender transition. I guess, did he call it a traniversary cake? And he refused to do that. And so he took him back before the same board in the state of Colorado that had persecuted him before. And even though this board had lost their fight all the way to the Supreme Court, they don't care. They've got unlimited resources. The Supreme Court said that the state of Colorado and that board specifically had exhibited hostility to Christianity in its prosecution of the baker. And at the time that happened, 3 years ago, he won in the Supreme Court 7-2. You know who the two were that voted against that? The darling of the left, Darth Vader Ginsburg and Sotomayor. And so this transgender guy now says he's a woman. And it's sad to see. Like I said, it was in the article from LifeSite, when they talk about Levine, they identify him as a man. But it was sad to see WND, which identifies itself as a very Christian organization, embracing this lie. Throughout this article, they use, this is an article from WND, throughout this article, even though they're clear as to what's happening, the thing that bothers me is that they continue to refer to this transgender lawyer, who is a man, biologically. They continue to refer to him as she, everywhere in it, she. You cannot accept this lie. That is a seminal lie to use these pronouns. That is a hill to die on, folks. He admitted that he had vented against Phillips by writing him emails when the same-sex wedding case was going on. He had called him a bigot and a hypocrite. And then this lawyer claimed to have forgotten about being upset and then said, well, you know, no, I don't want him to make me a Traniversary cake. And he refused to make that. And so now they're coming after him again. And since this is not his first rodeo with these people persecuting him for being a Christian, he sued the state for harassment in federal court. And in 2019, the state and Phillips reached a settlement and they withdrew their complaint. Now, that's the last time I saw this story. But now the lawyer has come after him with a personal lawsuit because the Colorado organization, because it was harassment, they dropped it. And so now this guy is suing him directly. His lawyer says Jack Phillips' cakes convey a message. But Jack Phillips is a Christian, and his religion affects what he can create. Jack Phillips will make cakes for all people, but he cannot make cakes for all messages. He has a policy of declining to make cakes with messages regarding Halloween or alcohol or racism or marijuana. That's his right. It doesn't matter if you agree with him. If you come in and want him to make a cake for Halloween, he thinks it's a cult. And see, that's, you know, again, like that writer at USA, can you believe that? You know, lumps all these things together? Well, it's because the Bible does, right? So if you go in and you ask him to make a cake for you with one of these things and he declines, you don't have the right to put him out of business. Who are you? Who are you to ban a college basketball team because you don't like what they're doing? This is the hill to die on, folks. So a member of the state commission at the time expressed hostility towards a Christian faith. She said, I would like to reiterate what we said in the hearing last week. Freedom of religion and religion has been used to justify all kinds of discrimination throughout history. I can list hundreds of situations where freedom of religion has been used to justify discrimination. Let me tell you how that always happens. It's governments who are doing it. It's governments who are using a religious justification, who are twisting a religion in most cases, twisting their religion to justify their murder by the state or what they're doing to people. It's the state that's doing it. They may use that as a twisted justification, but it is still the state that's doing it. And that's why we have the First Amendment and freedom of religion. So the state won't have that excuse to murder, to punish, to ban people. That's the whole purpose of the First Amendment. She completely glosses over the idea. Now, the people who established this country were Christians, and they had seen Christians of every stripe persecuting other Christians, but they were doing it with the power of the government. And so they said, we can have our religious differences, and we can have strong disagreements, and we can condemn each other to hell if we wish, but we're not going to have the government get involved in this anymore. So the government's going to stay out of this argument that we have about religion. But now there's another religion, the secular humanism, the transhumanism, the Marxist religion. These religions are the ones that are being established, and they were totally intolerant. His lawyer finally said, 8 years is a long time to live under the weight of constant litigation that threatens the business that you built and the people that you love. During his first case, Jack lost a big part of his business and more than half of his employees. Over the years, he and his family have also endured hate mail, nasty phone calls, and even death threats. This most recent lawsuit is a blatant attempt to punish him, to banish him, to intimidate him out of business, just for living according to his beliefs. And how do you do that? You do that by using the government. You do that by using the Colorado Commission. You do that by using the Equality Act. It goes back to government. It goes back to one religion, in this particular case, satanic Satanism, satanic Marxism. Of course, it's redundant to say satanic Marxism as well. But to use that religion to use the power of government to persecute other religions, whether they're Christian or Jewish or even Muslim, right? They'll be coming after the Muslims next. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about how these people cannot take a joke. And then we have a lot of news about America held hostage, vaccines, and we'll be joined in the third hour with Gerald Celente. So don't miss that. We've got a couple, talking about anniversaries, we got a couple of anniversaries that he's pointed out in his Trends Journal. One of them I haven't talked about. Big, important anniversary as well that we should not forget. So we're going to be right back after this brief break.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via PayPal, or donate via Venmo, Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
All right, and I'll just reiterate again that we've had, we're constantly having some changes to where we are. And, you know, we've been purged from YouTube for the most part. They haven't taken the channel away. I assume that they will before they allow us to post again, because what they've done the last several times is as they put a strike against us, as that strike is about to expire, they find something that they can strike against us with another video. They never give us any explanation of it, just tell us. More than they used to. I mean, I was purged without having any single strikes back on August 6, 2018. I had two channels taken away. I hadn't posted anything to one channel for several years. And that one had about 30,000 followers. It was dormant. And then the other one that I had at the time, after the show had started, it was up to about 65,000-70,000. And it was about, I guess it was about 11 months after the show had started. And I'd already seen the number of subscribers taper off, and which was strange because the view counts were going up, and then the view counts went down. And then we got banned. So all that happened in a period of about 3 months. But they just, you know, stopped the show in the middle of the broadcast and said, a complaint has been received. Not three strikes and you're out. Just a complaint has been. That's it. And they sent me that email message for several months. I started filtering them and putting them into a folder because they wouldn't respond to anything that I sent them. So I thought, I'm going to see how long they're going to send this. And they did it for about 3 months. And it was kind of irregular, too, which is kind of strange. Sometimes it'd be about 7 or 8 minutes. Sometimes it'd be as much as 15 to 20 minutes in between these emails. But they were coming 24/7. I got about 8,000 emails from them before they finally stopped. And after a while, when they would not respond to any of my correspondence, I said, just stop your spamming me. But anyway, so that channel is not going to come back. But the we've added Odyssey. We also added last week, this week, we added Rumble channel last week. So take a look at those. We now have BitChute, YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey. And you can find all those links at thedavidknightshow.com. We have the links to the podcast, the links to the live stream, and of course, Periscope will be going away at the end of the month. So DLive and Trovo will still be there. And don't forget that you can contribute. All the donation links are there. You can contribute on Subscribestar. That is The David Knight Show on Subscribestar. And on PayPal, you can send contributions by mail, davidknightshow@protonmail.com, or you can go to the direct link that is on thedavidknightshow.com. We also have links there for Venmo, Cash App, Bitcoin, and the address for P.O. Box. So take a look at thedavidknightshow.com. A website is on the way, and we'll be putting up articles. As a matter of fact, one of the first things I want to do is to put up a series of articles that kind of, and maybe I'll do that sooner rather than later. I was thinking about that this morning as I woke up. I need to put something together to summarize what's going on with the vaccines in a variety of different ways. Here's what you need to know about the companies. Here's what you need to know about legal immunity. Here's what you need to know about the vaccines themselves. Here's just the general insanity of this. The idea that it's an experimental vaccine and it's being required by people. So there's a lot of different ways that I could attack that in short articles, and maybe somebody could use that to save a relative. But that will be coming up in some way or the other. Try to consolidate that. I'd done an article last year about the process of testing and how it was different for therapeutics versus vaccines, and how they weren't following even their own protocol for testing vaccines. So I'll probably pull from some of that, but expand on that as well. As we're talking about the political correctness and the attacks on people, we have Jay Leno now apologizing for past jokes about Asians. See, here's Jay Leno. He's from a time when the late night shows used to be funny. Jay Leno used to be funny, but now he is a joke. And he apologized and said, well, I'm not bowing to the cancel culture because I'm genuinely upset about what I did. I'm, you know, he, again, bowing to this religion, he wants to confess and repent. But he's not even on the air anymore. So he said to Variety, he says, I was making fun of our enemy, North Korea. And like most of these jokes, there was a ring of truth to them. Yeah, what did he say that was so horrible? He said he made a joke about a painting of America's Got Talent judge, Simon Cowell, and his dogs. And he said the dogs look like food items in a Korean restaurant. Well, that's actually true. And, you know, I could make jokes about that. I could make jokes about Scottish food. Scottish food, haggis and scotch eggs and stuff like that, that's notorious. Everybody makes jokes about it. People make jokes about English food as well. And, you know, people make jokes about American food. You can make jokes about food, about cuisine. It's okay, Jay. You don't have to be so butthurt about this. It's unbelievable that this is going on. And let me tell you, they really do eat dogs. When we were in China, we had an excursion out into one of the villages one day with the group to see what life was like outside the cities. And there were all of these yellow dogs running around that were about exactly the same size. And, you know, they were not adult dogs. They were late age puppies. So we were there in August. And they said, all these dogs will be disappearing in the fall festival. They were being raised for food. They do eat dogs. I don't know if the Koreans do. Probably in North Korea, they eat whatever they can get. And that's been the case for a long time in China as well, because of the poverty imposed upon them by their authoritarian governments, which is what we are going into right now. But let's not joke about that. If we say anything about China, so that's the key thing. That was the sensitive spot for YouTube, the fact that I said 2020 was the year that we all became China. Oh, well, you're saying this is the Wuhan virus? I said, no, the virus was the tyranny. At this time, he said, there's a prevailing attitude that some group was always complaining about something, so just don't worry about it. And he said, either you take the attitude, well, we need to deal with this, or screw them if they can't take a joke. He said, too many times I sided with the latter. Even when in my heart, I knew it was wrong to make fun of the food that they were eating in Korea. I mean, it was really kind of a running joke with the family when we were in China, the amazing things that they would have on the menu. They would eat fish lips. I didn't eat any. I don't like fish in general, but fish lips. And so, like I said before, we kind of came up with a little jingle, you know, talking about the 12 days of Christmas, the 12 menu items on the Chinese thing. And the final one was a partridge in some congee, because that was one of the and a partridge and some congee. That was one of the items on the menu, partridge and a congee. That's what made me think about doing the 12 items of the Chinese menu. So you can't make jokes about that. Let me tell you, real comedians, not Jay Leno anymore, but real comedians like Rowan Atkinson and John Cleese are bemoaning the fact that you can't do jokes anymore because nobody's got a sense of humor. These humorless Marxist totalitarians who seek to control your speech and your mind and your thoughts and to demand that you comply with every one of their prejudices. That's the issue. And so we have the New York Times, again, coming after Babylon Bee. They did it back in August of 2019. In August of 2019. And they did it just a couple of days ago. And again, on March the 19th, they did it again, coming after the Babylon Bee, talking about how they were a horrible political operative site. They are not a Christian humor site. This is one from August in 2019. Headline from New York Times, Satire or Deceit? A Christian humor site feuds with Snopes. On one side is Snopes, the influential fact-checking website founded 25 years ago, run by Dominatrix and a guy who has a cat pictures on his couch. I mean, what are their qualifications? Nothing. Nothing. On the other side is the Babylon Bee, an upstart. See, they're an upstart. The other people, they're venerable. They've been around for 25 years. An upstart Christian satirical website that lampoons progressive ideas, Democrats, Christians, and even President Trump. They're real comedians. They lampoon everybody, which is what Jay Leno used to do. They're fighting over how Snopes characterizes stories published by the Bee, which says that Snopes has veered from its fact-checking mission by suggesting that the satirical site may be twisting its jokes to deceive readers. Let me tell you, the people at Snopes are not worthy of being called fact-checkers. They're nothing but people with a very clear and narrow agenda. Did the New York Times ever go after The Onion? No, of course not. And yet, The Onion's politics are very clear, and they're much narrower than the satire that you see from the Babylon Bee. But again, they said, the reason we have to take this seriously at the time, said the Babylon Bee's chief executive, Seth Dillon, the reason we have to take it seriously is because social networks, which we depend on for our traffic, have relied upon fact-checking sources in the past to determine what's fake news and what isn't, and because the Snopes people are calling us fake news, they're having problems on social media. Said in cases where they're calling us fake news and lumping us in with them rather than saying this is satire, that could actually damage us. It could put our business in jeopardy. Here's the issue. Satire is not just funny, but it's a very powerful weapon. Saul Alinsky said that it is the most powerful weapon. Because there's not really any good answer for satire. And that's why it's been used as a political weapon by all of the late-night talk shows now. They don't do comedy anymore. When you look at all these late-night, quote-unquote, comedy shows, they're very political, and they're not funny. And that includes Saturday Night Live as well. But it's all the late-night talk show hosts. So Dillon at the Bee said he was frustrated by the way that Snopes had characterized their work, and they'd retained a law firm to send them a notice of that. You know, I had, and I've mentioned this before, because I talked about a daily Babylon Bee article that was making fun of, it was really a satire on what Elizabeth Warren was doing with her DNA tests, and when her DNA tests came back and said that she had half as much American Indian in her as the average white European in America. They did a satire and said, Hillary Clinton came out and said, I've had a DNA test, and see, I'm only half reptilian space lizard. I thought that was really funny, and I talked about that, and I put that on as a title of a short video. And so I had the Daily Beast try to get me deplatformed off of social media for being fake news, the same thing that Snopes is trying to do the Babylon Bee. Why? Because satire is very effective. And so now the New York Times is back at it. March the 19th, they suggested that Babylon Bee is a misinformation site. Now, what are they doing now 2 years later? 2 years later, what they're saying is that it's a problem for Facebook to be able to distinguish between satire and misinformation. And so they talk about a couple of leftist satire sites. One of them is NIB, N-I-B. I've never seen what they had. And another one is a cartoonist, Ed Hall. Ed Hall criticized Israel's policies by putting up a Nazi sign that said "No Jews allowed" or something like that. And so he got attacked. And he goes, "But that my point was is that they are being hypocrites about this." And so they said, "Well, the problem is that Facebook," and here's the title for the New York Times piece. For political cartoonists, the irony was that Facebook didn't recognize irony. As Facebook becomes more active at moderating political speech, it has trouble dealing with satire. And so it defended the left-wing cartoonists, the left-wing satire sites like NIB, but then it came after Babylon Bee. Again, said, but Babylon Bee is misinformation. See, if you're a leftist, it's satire. But if the point of your satire is somebody on the left, then it's misinformation, and you should be censored. That's still the position taken by the New York Times, obviously. Real quickly, this is a story a couple of days ago. All 16 of Monopoly's community chess cards will be replaced to bring them more in line with current social attitudes. I would suggest that if they're going to do that, they could rename it instead of the community chest, they could call it the communist chest. Citizen compliance. Yeah, they said, well, you know, it's overdue for a refresh. We have things like, you know, you won a second prize in a beauty contest and you collect $10. We can't do that. Well, I would suggest, they said, we're overdue for a refresh. The COVID-19 pandemic has given the word community a whole new meaning. Oh, yes, it has. So here's what they should do with their communist chest cards and Monopoly. I think that you ought to have a card that says, do not pass go. Matter of fact, don't go anywhere because no travel is permitted. It'd be the COVID-19 edition. Or, you know, don't roll any dice because it's too risky. Or maybe you can't collect rent from any of your hotels because the CDC said so. That would be your COVID-19 edition, right? Washington Post, with their social justice guide for toddlers. That's right. They recommended books like Woke Baby and Anti-Racist Baby. They highlighted a Canadian drag queen reading show. And they even have woke music. Oh, woke music. Maybe it's music that doesn't have anything to do with dead white composers, right? Or as Monty Python referred to them in their songs, the decomposing composers. We can say that. We can make fun of Western civilization, but, you know, we could not do that if it was any other civilization. Could not talk about decomposing composers. Experts told the authors that kids develop implicit bias as early as 3 months old. This implicit bias is one of the most explicit lies that they tell. One of the most dangerous things. You have implicit bias. I can tell because you have white skin, right? Critics said that children should be allowed to play before they're being indoctrinated. Yeah, that's exactly what this is. And then this is what, you know, the book that they wanted to put out there, Anti-Racist Baby. Here you go. There's Anti-Racist Baby right there. You can see it. Let's talk about an anti-racist baby who happens to be a senator, Tammy Duckworth. Now, she's a racist baby. She's not an anti-racist baby. She's anti-white racist. She said she's not going to vote for anybody that's nominated by Joe Biden if they're white, unless they're gay. And she's not the only one. We got two totally racist babies who are also senators. The other racist baby that is with her is also co-sponsoring this legislation, or talking about that. I think it was Mazie Hirono. I don't see it on this sheet here, but it was Tammy Duckworth at the beginning of it. I will not vote for any of Biden's white nominees unless they're lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or queer. I'm a no vote on the floor. on all non-diversity nominees. Well, then you, if you don't want white people, then you're not about diversity either, right? You know, I will vote for racial minorities and I'll vote for LGBT, but anybody else I will not vote for. Yeah, it was Maisie Hirono who joined her in this. And as we look at this, and as we look at implicit bias, just in a couple of months, you're already a racist, right? And so you have the Democrats saying that the Hyde Amendment, which was there to stop the funding of abortions in America, is racist. Racist. No. Planned Parenthood is racist. Planned Parenthood is involved in black genocide. Planned Parenthood was eugenicist from the very beginning. Planned Parenthood purposely put their clinics in poor minority neighborhoods. They're very explicit about that. And don't ever forget that the patriarch of the Bush clan was the treasurer for Margaret Sanger when that organization began. You can see his name. You can find it on the internet. You can see his name in the on the letterhead, very first fundraising letter. Prescott Bush, right there. The Equal Access to Abortion Coverage and Health Insurance Act, which is being put out by this racist baby, Tammy Duckworth. So she wants to not have anybody in if they're not if they're white, unless they're white LGBT. And now she says that we have to murder black babies because if we don't, that's racist. She's joined in this one, not with Maisie Hirono, but with Barbara Lee from California. And so Tammy Duckworth and Barbara Lee want to overturn the 1976 Hyde Amendment, which bans the use of federal funds for abortions. Duckworth and Lee argue that the Hyde Amendment prevents low-income women and women of color from participating in Planned Parenthood's eugenics, black genocide. And so you need to kill the black babies to prove that you're not racist. She said, we should all agree that what's legal for wealthy Americans should not be so inaccessible for Americans of color and low-income Americans. And then you had Lee say, it is anti-choice and it is blatantly racist. The Hyde Amendment has been used by anti-choice politicians to keep abortion care out of the reach for people already marginalized by our healthcare system. Well, you had a guy, Dean Nelson, with the Human Coalition Action Executive Director, that across the country, black women experience the highest abortion rate of any demographic. They don't have a problem getting abortions. It's by design. That's what the whole thing was designed for. As a matter of fact, you have private organizations that are specifically contributing money, specifically for black abortions. That's been exposed. Black women experience the highest abortion rate of any demographic, nearly five times higher than white women. And even with the Hyde Amendment in place, the abortion industry already targets the poor with great success. Close to half of the women who get abortions in America live below the federal poverty line. The Hyde Amendment alone won't halt the advance of abortion in America, but it does do something to protect black lives. And so now, however, it's being called racist by the racist Tammy Duckworth. Because, you know, you have to be able to have access to this if you're poor. But if you are poor and white in Oakland, you don't get access to any of the new universal basic income program that they want to put out there. In Oakland, California, the mayor, Libby Schaaf, announced that families earning less than $30,000 a year will receive a monthly check from a fund established by some wealthy donors, unless those families are white, in which case they will get nothing. And this is the way it's going to work under the communism of universal basic income, under stimulus and other these other things. You'll not just be non-essential. You will not be given any money. The money came from a private group, Oakland Resilient Families. A household of five, unless they happen to be white, would receive $31,040 per year. While a private group, as the New American points out, can give its money to whomever it wishes, the city should not be involved in this racist scheme. Such programs are making it difficult to differentiate between actual news stories and those put out by satire sites like the Babylon Bee. Yeah, we're going to give money to everybody that's poor, except for the white people. Doesn't this sound like the Babylon Bee? I've said many times, They cannot keep ahead of the Democrat Party as hard as they try. But you might recall when we had separate but equal, right? Remember that term, separate but equal? That came from 1896. And it was a Supreme Court decision that was 7-1 at the time. Plessy versus Ferguson. And that's where they came up with the separate but equal doctrine. At issue was a law in Louisiana that required segregation of the races on railroad cars. Homer Plessy was of mixed race and was arrested for sitting in the whites-only section of the coach. This is what they're going to do to people who don't have their vaccines. And you might, well, I was half vaccinated. I had the first shot, but I didn't get the second one. His case eventually reached the Supreme Court, where he argued that segregation based on race was designed to place blacks in an inferior position. The court said the law did not violate the Constitution, specifically the 14th Amendment, because while requiring separation of the races, it did provide for a semblance of equality. Blacks could not be kept off the trains altogether simply because of their race. Of course, the court rejected his argument that it placed a badge of inferiority upon blacks, saying it was only true if the colored race chooses to put that construction upon it, unquote. Only one court member dissented. And remember, it was 7-1. It was a Southerner named John Marshall Harlan. He said, in the eye of the law, there is in this country no superior dominant ruling class of citizens. There is no caste system here. Oh, yes, there is now. It's called intersectionality. That is a caste system like they have in India. And it is a ranking of people. And guess what? If you're a stinky old white male, as Shira Jung called people like me, you are the untouchables, the deplorables, the non-essentials, right? But in this country, there should be no superior dominant ruling class of citizens, said John Marshall Harlan. There is no caste system here. Our Constitution is colorblind and neither knows nor tolerates classes among citizens. In respect of civil rights, all citizens are equal before the law. And they point out at New American, we rightly criticize this separate but equal situation. But it is superior in both a legal and moral sense to what Oakland is doing here, bluntly asserting that poor whites are not equal to poor blacks. Marxist theory requires pitting society against itself. Black versus white, men versus women, young versus old, on and on. And under National Socialism, Hitler's Germany, it was rich Jews. And of course, there were many Jews in Germany that were wealthy bankers and business owners, but there were many who weren't. As in Oakland, while the average white person there might be wealthier than the average American, African-American or Native American, or a person of color, by just being white, even a poor white who is poorer than the black person, that makes you an enemy. This is Nazi ethics, Nazi ranking, Marxist racing, ranking. Because, you know, the Nazis are not the polar opposite. They're fascist because they merged corporations and government instead of taking over the ownership of government. But the Nazis were just as authoritarian as the communists. And as a matter of fact, they both identified themselves as socialists. The difference between them was that Hitler said, I'm going to use the corporations to get and to consolidate my power, and then I'll take it from them. He said Stalin made a mistake. He took the power from the corporations first, and he doesn't have the people who know how to run things. I'm going to have the people who are going to make the trains run on time. That's the difference between the two systems, but they're both authoritarian and totalitarian. Sesame Street is rolling out some new characters to teach the kids about how racist they are and to teach them to focus on skin color. Yeah, this is a concerted effort to program children from a very, very young age about the skin color being the preeminent thing. And of course, that's the antithesis of what the civil rights movement was about. But Martin Luther King said, we don't want to judge people by the color of skin, but by the content of their character. That's not what Sesame Street's telling them. The kids are taught about the importance of skin tone, and of melanin in a video starring Elmo. It was, isn't he red or blue? I mean, yeah, he's red. Okay. The importance of being red. It's not easy being green, but it's great to be red. Okay. The work is to dismantle racism, they said, by teaching kids from a very early age that some skin colors are better than others. See, that's exactly how this works. This is the hypocrisy, the lies of these people. Celebrate their outward appearance in order to keep strong within themselves as they grow up in a racist society that wants to shame white students. White students. And then finally, that brings us back to where we all started all this stuff, talking about the Cinderella team that has to be purged because they come from a Christian university. But now even Cinderella itself is being purged. This is a planned dinner theater production in Minnesota. I didn't even know they were having dinner theaters in Minnesota or anywhere else. I thought all this stuff had been shut down. It was 98% white, said the artistic director. He said, that doesn't work with what we're saying we want. And he said that, and he referred to the George Floyd thing. So we just can't have something that's white. But, you know, in 1997, we had an all-black cast do Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella. Problem is, I guess, is that Cinderella, because it's really kind of a white European culture, it's too white, even if you have an all-black cast. In 1997, you had Whitney Houston, you had Brandy doing the singing of that. But I guess it's still too white because it's still about a white culture. And we got to purge everything about Western civilization out of it, even if it's culturally misappropriated. we can't make that claim, right? This is the insanity, but it's not insane. It's exactly what they want to do. Are we going to take a real quick break? And no, we're not, because, we are, because Gerald's not going to come on until the bottom of the next hour, so I'll have a little bit of time. Let's take a real quick break, and then we're going to come back in with America Held Hostage and give you an update on what's going on with vaccines. Gerald will be here to talk about what is going on with a very important anniversary that I've not talked about, as well as the new tax issues, what's going on with markets, but especially what's going on with freedom. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via PayPal, or donate via Venmo, Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
I had a listener, Simon, send this to me. I've got one more thing to talk about before we leave the culture and the attack on our children. It's a cartoon video that's being put out by Netflix. He said, I just saw this and it reminds me of the microchipping in the James Bond film Casino Royale. It's interesting, predictive programming, but the most egregious thing about this is that it is directed at children. Let's play a little bit of this clip, Travis.
Charter City is stunned by the sudden rollout of Rook Unlimited's most fantastic device ever. The Smart Mark. Throw your other devices away, because the Smart Mark is more than just a phone. It's part of you. Use it as cash. Book your travel. And even shoot video. Distribution points are all over the city. And don't let the lines discourage you. The Rook Unlimited Smart Mark is worth the wait.
I never realized how wonderful technology could make me feel. The Smart Mark has brought order to my life.
And the best part? It's absolutely free. A gift of thanks to our city from Rook Unlimited.
Like from Bill Gates or something. Yeah, well,
23% of the public.
You get the idea. And if you didn't see that, if you're listening to this, they sit down and they get this thing clipped into their arm, get the mark on their arm. They could put it on their hand or their forehead, right? It certainly looks like the mark of the beast, and certainly looks like this is exactly what they're training us for, isn't it? And it is predictive programming directed at children. They even call it smart because all this stuff is smart. Anytime they talk about something being smart, they're selling it to dummies. Everything about this lockdown agenda, everything about the Green New Deal, everything that's been locked into place with this lockdown was all part of the smart city agenda for stupid people, for people who don't have the discernment to understand what is happening. Let's talk a little bit about what is going on with America held hostage on day 377. Got another video for you. This one was done in Poland, and they had a couple of actors. One of them was dressed up like a police officer and had a truncheon, billy club, right? And then they would have another guy who was in on the gag. And this is very much like what they did with the Ash experiment, with the Milgram experiment, where they'd have people who were in on it, and they were looking to see how people would react to being told the wrong answer by the crowd, even when it was obvious what the right answer was. That was the Ash experiment, and they found that, you know, the vast majority of people would eventually go along with the crowd, even if they knew the answer was wrong. They would give the wrong answer if the crowd was giving the wrong answer. In the Milgram experiment, if a figure in authority was telling you to harm somebody else, you would go along with that as well, the vast majority of that. So in this video, we have this guy dressed up like a cop, and in Polish, this guy's walking by in an airport scenario. It's an airport or a mall, and the guy walking past him doesn't have a mask on, and he shouts in Polish, "Mask," and then he goes over and starts beating him with the, gives him a couple of whacks with the truncheon. And then, because there's some people in the background who don't have masks, and they will, real quickly, and most of them will put the mask on. This is the way this intimidation is rolling. Let's roll a little bit of that video clip.
Yeah. Maska, maska, где? А у вас где маска?
Как раз в аптеку иду. Сейчас куплю.
Скорей. Так, стой. Маска где? Маску где?
As soon as these people see him beating him, they start putting their masks on. You had one guy who tried to explain him, kind of cautiously walks back.
Mask on, mask on, где?
They see the people come out. They've all got their masks on. They've got them in their pocket.
Молодцы.
These people coming down this way.
Так, стой. Маска где?
Маска
где? Маска где?
Tries to walk back up the escalator. as he's putting his mask on. He buys a little bit of time by going up the escalator and try to get away from it. Afraid of this. And rightfully so, if you got some idiot who is going to hammer you. There's only one person that I saw in that clip who's like, you know, and says something to him in Polish. I don't know what he was saying, but he didn't put his mask on. An older man. But the younger people didn't have a problem with that at all. They immediately began putting their mask on in fear, because that's what this is all about. It was fear to tell us that we had to lock down. It's fear of government authoritarian billy clubs, you know, the truncheon that's going to be out there. That's exactly what this is all about. Bill Gates, meanwhile, is saying that we've only got about, another year to go, 2 years to go, the end of 2022. See, we've got the light at the end of the tunnel, thanks to vaccines. So we have the billionaire doctor, Bill Gates, the billionaire dictator, Bill Gates, now the billionaire fortune teller, Bill Gates, telling us that we should be back to normal. Do you believe this? Reuters does. Reuters wants you to believe this, that the world should be back to normal by the end of 2022, thanks to COVID vaccine, says Bill Gates in an interview for a Polish newspaper. You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see some guy in a police uniform come out of the wings and start beating Bill Gates with a truncheon. That's what That would be some justice right there. This is an incredible tragedy, said Gates. But by the end of 2022, we should be basically completely back to normal. Basically completely. What does that mean, basically? And of course, Reuters is quick to point out that he is a philanthropist who is donating all of these vaccines, but never questioning why. Kit Knightley at Off Guardian says exactly the same thing I've been saying. UK lockdown, 1 year on, it doesn't work. It never worked. It wasn't supposed to work. He said 1 year, 12 calendar months, 365 increasingly grueling days. See, he's counting the days too. Except we got started a little bit earlier with Trump and Fauci. We're now on day 377. Yeah, 377. So we're a little bit ahead. He said, it's a long time since we had 2 weeks to flatten the curve. This was not a sacrifice for the greater good. It was not a hard decision. There were not arguments on both sides. This was not a risk-benefit scenario. The risks were, in fact, certainties. And the benefits were entirely fictional because lockdowns don't work. And it's really important to remember that. And this is why I opposed it from the very beginning. I said, it doesn't matter what this thing is. It doesn't matter if this is a bioengineered weapon intentionally released. That still doesn't matter. And you still got press organizations trying to bring that up. Don't fearmonger over this anymore. That was wrong a year ago. And I have absolutely no patience. You got Epic Times trying to do that now again and other conservative organizations. Oh, look at this. You know, we have these new variants that are coming in. I think they're being released by these Chinese labs and on, and still talking about the Chinese lab. That ship has sailed. If it was something that was accidentally or deliberately released, even if it was malicious, they didn't get it right. And we can thank God for that. But it's clear at this point that the real intention was political. That's the real virus. Lockdowns don't work. It's really important to remember that. Even if you subscribe to the belief, says Kit Knightley, that this COVID-19 is a unique, discrete entity, which is far from being proven, or that it is incredibly dangerous, which is demonstrably untrue, the lockdown has not worked to in any way limit this supposed threat. And then he goes on to show what we've been talking about for a long time, looking at the COVID death charts, even from these national organizations that are selling the fear, the CDC here, the British organizations there, and the other ones in Sweden. He said, look at the difference in COVID deaths, things that are labeled as COVID deaths by the official government statistics, and you see that there's no difference between the UK, where there's a heavy lockdown, and between Sweden, where there was no lockdown. And he says, from Belarus to Sweden, from Florida to Nicaragua, from Florida to California to Tanzania, the evidence is clear that whatever is they're measuring, the lockdowns had no difference, made no difference in any of these comparisons. Let me tell you, when we look at this, one of the places where we saw the most authoritarian police state brutalization was in Australia, in the state of Victoria, in Melbourne. And to get an early start on that, you may remember how they locked down a housing project there. Public housing residents are now filing a class action suit. They claim that they had to survive off of nuts and beans. Claim was filed in Victorian Supreme Court last week, alleging that residents are owed damages for invalid, oppressive, and degrading lockdown that failed to consider human rights. See, I think we all should be suing Fauci. We should all be suing Trump and Biden and anybody else who had a part in this. They said 3,000 people were locked inside 9 apartment towers from July 14th to July 18th of last year before the entire state went into a hard lockdown on August the 2nd and before you saw the people going around literally beating people for real like they showed in that that Polish video. Acting it out. The claim alleges that lead plaintiff Idris Hassan and his family were supplied with spoiled food after being banned from buying groceries. Oh, and by the way, this guy is a black Muslim Somali refugee. See, these people who were so politically correct, and they want to do everything for, you know, he checked all the boxes. Well, he is male, but, you know, there are female people in the household that did check every box. Person of color, a refugee, a Muslim, all that. Yeah, they still did it to them, showing that they don't care about anything that they say they care about. After being provided nothing for 3 days, they were given 4 partially defrosted sausage rolls that they said were not fit for human consumption in the lawsuit. Ms. Hassan and his 9-year-old son suffered asthma attacks after they ran out of medication, with the family surviving on nuts and beans. So the claim alleges that they were not consulted about the lockdown, which banned them from leaving their homes without approval. The Victorian Deputy Chief Health Officer, Dr. Van Diemen, I'm not making this up, the name is spelled D-I-E-M-E-N, and she does look a bit harsh and demonic if you see the picture of her right there. Anyway, so Van Diemen, Dr. Van Diemen, yeah, the Faustian bargain for real, right? Faustian. Sometime on the 4th of July, Victoria Police decided to deploy hundreds of Victoria Police officers to the estate towers to enforce the detention of the residents of those towers. The lockdown was not explained at the time to the residents of the towers. So they just did massive police presence. This is straight out of Brazil. You know, the Monty Python, not Monty Python, but it, Terry Gilliam, who used to do their stuff, he directed it. And it's straight out of his over-the-top authoritarian police state that is also incredibly stupid and blundering in everything that it does. The lead plaintiff arrived in Australia after fleeing civil war in Somalia. And so there you go. He's saying because the government troops came up there, and, you know, gave me PTSD because we were surrounded by these people. They didn't tell us what they were doing. They locked us down. We couldn't get medication for our asthma. We couldn't even get food. They delivered some 4, you know, partially thawed out sausages. You know, they have a special diet that they want to eat because they're Muslim, and they would not provide them with that. They said a series of programs is what this really is, a series of programs designed to completely undercut civil liberties around the world. It's been more than apparent for most of the last 52 weeks that the agenda of lockdown is not about public health. It's about laying the groundwork for a new normal and for a great reset. We've all had our lives ruined. We've had a year of our precious lives stolen by Gates, by Fauci, by Trump. And they're going to steal another 2 years if we let them, Biden and his people. While the elite proselytize about the worth of the rules that they happily admit do not apply to them. They're trying to take everything from us, and the only way to stop them is to simply not comply. Kit Knightley is exactly right. So as Biden meets the press, the Politico.com says the pandemic completely disappeared. Isn't that interesting? I mean, we're still locked down. We're going to be locked down until 2022, but they don't even have any questions about it. No questions asked. Just do what he says. You're not allowed to question this. If you question it, you're going to get censored by social media. Get censored by YouTube. For 62 minutes, the COVID-19 pandemic never arose, says Politico, except in the president's remarks at the very beginning of the event, touting his accomplishments. What did he do? He's been there for 2 months. This is really a Trump's lockdown. It's Fauci's lockdown, and Fauci's not going anywhere. Biden tried to maintain the discipline that he had brought to the pandemic. Supposedly, he called on 10 reporters who were seated far apart, mostly from high-profile mainstream newspapers and networks. He said, in talking about the filibuster, then he talked about a lockdown. And he thought a lockdown was a bad thing to happen in the Senate. He said, if we have to, if there's a complete lockdown and chaos as a consequence of the filibuster, then we'll have to go beyond what I'm talking about. See, he doesn't want to have a lockdown in the Senate. He doesn't want a lockdown to get in the way of his agenda, his life, and what he wants to do. But, hey, a lockdown and total chaos in your life, that's just fine, because you're not essential. The Senate is essential. The Equality Act is essential. Taking away any honest elections, all of that stuff is essential. But anything that you do is not essential. British Parliament is now going to extend the draconian virus powers by at least another 6 months. But, you know, we've just had the world's leader, Bill Gates, who paid for this thing. I mean, he paid for it. He gets to make all the rules, right? All the shots. He said it's not going to be another 6 months. It's going to be another 2 years, really, the end of 2022. But they're going to extend it. They said they've announced until September. They just do this in little bits and pieces. They're taking one bite at a time out of your life. Taking big bites out of our life. 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years. Boris Johnson's large conservative majority in Parliament all but guarantees success. See, you got to have the Republican president. You got to have the conservative Boris Johnson in power in order to run through this hardcore communist agenda. It gives the authorities powers to bar protests, to shut down businesses, to restrict travel, to detain people who are suspected of having the virus, but who are not even sick. And after a year of lockdown, a review from the Crown Prosecution Service has shown that all prosecutions brought under the Coronavirus Act in the past year were unlawful. All prosecutions were unlawful in this authoritarian lockdown. In Oregon, even as they've had cases drop in half since November, they want to now make the mask mandate permanent. See, this is never about a virus. This is never about health care. Never about any of this. We're going to pause for a second. We just got a message from Gerald Celente because of scheduling issues. He would like to come on right now. It's a good time for him to come on, and we're always happy to have Gerald Celente come on. So let's go. Do you have Gerald Celente on the line? Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll get Gerald Celente on, and we're going to be right back. We're going to talk about a different kind of anniversary. Yeah, this is a big anniversary that just happened, but there's a couple of other anniversaries that Gerald was talking about in Trends, in his Trends Journal that you can find at trendsresearch.com. So we'll be right back with Gerald Celente. Stay with us.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via PayPal, or donate via Venmo, Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
let me know. All right, and we're back, and we have Gerald Celente on the line with us. We'll do an over-the-phone graphic here because we're having a little bit of video issues. But Gerald Celente, and of course, trendsresearch.com is where you will find Trends Journal. Excellent publication. Does it on a weekly basis. I love the latest cover here. He's got the Earth being stuck from two sides with hypodermic needles, one of them labeled vaccine, and the other one is labeled money. And the subtitle says, drug dealers and money junkies. Are they going to save the world? I don't think so. So joining us now is Gerald Celente. Thank you for joining us, Gerald.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit, you know, one of the things that you teased out on the Trends Journal was you said we got two anniversaries for us to celebrate. Tell us what the two anniversaries are, because one of these is one that I've not talked about. Go ahead. Tell us about the two anniversaries.
Well, the anniversary on the 20th of the month was the beginning of the Iraq War.
Yeah, about that. 18 years ago. Yeah.
And none of the media covered it at all.
That's right.
And one of the most disgusting things about it, and it really ties into the COVID war, it's just another war based on lies, is that, you know, I keep saying this over and over, whether you're up in Canada, I got this little clown boy over here in New York, what's his name, Andy Fill-Em-Up Cuomo, and, you know, one after another, they're little daddy's boys.
Right.
Little Trudeau, be nobody if your father wasn't there, so take your attitude and shove it. Same thing with you, Cuomo. And then I got a guy that he's right out of Mad Magazine, for people that can remember that magazine. It was a guy named Alfred E. Newman.
Yeah.
His new name is George W. Bush. Another little daddy's boy. You look at this little low-life piece of crap. The moronic piece of garbage that lied America into the war. And everybody marched along. Just like they're marching off to the COVID war.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And here are some of the facts. Fair and accuracy and reporting, fair, back then did the number of people that the mainstream media brought on pro-war or against the war. The against the war averaged up to about 4%.
Hmm.
And there was a guy named Phil Donahue who was on MSNBC.
Yeah.
That got thrown off the air because he was coming out with facts against the war.
Yeah. That's right.
George W. Bush should be in Guantanamo. I'm all in favor of keeping Guantanamo open when you put Bush in there, when you put Dick Cheney, because I have to be proper, I'm on the air. Penis Cheney, if you put him in there, little Colin Powell, a colon of crap, that's what the colon uses, you know. The crap goes down Colin Powell right out of his mouth, holding up a vial of lies that this is proof that Saddam Hussein is weapons of mass destruction. And you, the moronic American people, are going to pay the military-industrial complex about $3 trillion to blow this thing apart, destroy an entire country, kill about 1 million people based on lies, not one word in the media.
That's right. Yeah, instead of Mad Magazine, we've got WND, right? And we were lied into this. It was, as you're pointing out, a tilted narrative from the mainstream media, but it was also on the basis of torture, right? That's where it was Gina Haspel who got her data that she presented, and she you know, sold that to other people inside the government, and it was based on torture. And then to get into this situation, we got the same thing being done again. We've got the mainstream media narrative, and you're not allowed to speak against it. If you do, you're going to get purged out, just like Phil Donahue was. And then, except the difference is, in this time, Gerald, they tortured the data, right? To scare people. Fear,
yeah.
Uncertainty, and doubt. It's always fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
Yeah. Yep. And the other date is, you know, we put the magazine out last week, it's the anniversary of the stock market boom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a headline. These are two headlines from back on April 24th of last year, 2020. This is from Financial Times. U.S. equity valuations reach nearly two-decade high after rally. U.S. stock market has surged over the past month despite the damage to corporate profits from coronavirus, pushing one popular measure of equity valuation to its most expensive in nearly two decades. Same day. Investors baffled by soaring stocks in, quote, monster depression. The divergence between the flying stock market and dying economy is so extreme, it is leaving many analysts scrambling for explanations. This is Financial Times. Last year. I'm mentioning this because the markets are rigged, all right? It's right in front of your eyes, everybody. You really got to be a stupid jerk not to see this.
Absolutely. And what is happening now is, as we are further into this, and you and I talked about this a lot. It was about a year and a half ago when they started pumping all that money, trillions of dollars, into the repo market. And it's like, I look at this, like, what is the repo market? Are they are they pulling people's cars away? No, they just towed away the entire economy. And that all happened as this, well before it was anything was made public about their COVID lockdown situation. So this whole thing has been a very convenient thing for them. It's all part about resetting our society. It's all a part about resetting our debt and burying us in debt to destroy our economy. And now as people have started to move over into things like Bitcoin, there was a little bit of a glitch this week because they said, again, it was fear, uncertainty, and doubt as to whether or not these various sovereign digital currencies were going to be coming after Bitcoin to make it illegal. And this is something that's been there for quite some time. I know a lot of people have said, well, they can try to do that, but a lot of Bitcoin supporters have said we'll be able to, they think they'll be able to weather that. What's your opinion about that?
I don't think they'll be able to weather it.
Yeah.
No. Again, look at the cover of the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Drug dealers and money junkies.
Yeah.
Right. They're junkies. They're addicts. They don't stop addicts. And
that's
what we have are money junkies running our country. And if anybody that has a brain bigger than a pea can't figure it out, look who the secretary, U.S. Treasury Secretary is, Janet Yellen. Mm-hmm. Where did she come from? She was the former head of the Federal Reserve. And they use that word Federal Reserve. Hitler, I can't say that word. I'm not allowed to. Yeah, that'd be anti-Semitic if I said Hitler would like to have made that word up, you know.
But yeah.
I'm not allowed to say that. Federal, they're not federal. Stalin. Stalin could have made that name up.
Yeah.
And they have nothing to do with federal. As they say, their federal is Federal Express. And here they are right in front of us running the Treasury Secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And who did they just bring in? Another woman. Oh, if only women were in charge. I'm tired of hearing that crap, too. Women, men, black, white, green, yellow, race, creed, color, I don't care. Whatever one you bring in the best.
Yeah.
They brought in another woman with the IMF. They brought this guy in called Lipton. Yeah, from the she was from the woman's from the Federal Reserve, brought in Lipton from the IMF. And this is who's running our treasury. Right in front of our eyes.
Yeah, when we look at this and the way they're rolling this out, in terms of the, I agree with you, I think if they really want to shut this down, they can do it with the rubber hose method, right? I mean, they can beat your password out of you or get the stuff out of you. But even more importantly, they can take down the internet, or they could go to the places where they have the miners. I mean, they use a lot of power. You're not going to be able to hide that from these guys. In the grid, they're going to know where the miners are. They can shut it down and just go in. I mean, look at what they've done to us physically over the last year. I began with a segment, had some people in Poland that did kind of two guys who were acting this out and another person or two who were filming. They wanted to get the reaction of people who were not wearing their masks. So they had a guy who was an actor not wearing his mask and another guy who was dressed up like a cop who would shout mask and hit him with the truncheon. And all of a sudden, all the other people put their mask on. And that's all they have to do. They have to come down hard on one person. Everybody else will fall in line. And that's the easiest way to control the crowds.
Yeah. And look, again, look at all how the people marched off to the COVID war.
Yeah.
You know, and they're getting vaccinated.
Yeah.
And look here. You look at what's going on and how now that you have, you know, the companies like here, White House gets help selling skeptics on vaccines. Mm-hmm. This is the big story in the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
The Biden administration is enlisting the help of groups including the Christian Broadcasting Network and NASCAR.
Yeah, they're going after they know who is refusing this. It's the Trump voters. And so, you know, you had Mark Levin come out to tell the Trump voters, hey, this vaccine is Trump's vaccine. He should be getting credit for this. And I called it from the very beginning. I said, he's selling this to the people. And then in a couple of days, they had President Trump doing it on Fox News. And now, as you're pointing out, they got all these religious leaders. They got Franklin Graham. They've got Al Mohler with the Southern Baptists. They're all pushing the vaccine to everybody.
Yeah, what was one of the guys that said that Jesus would be taking the vaccine?
Yeah, that's Franklin Graham. Yeah.
What a little piece of crap. Come over here and tell that to me face to face.
Yeah.
You're not the Jesus that I went to believed in.
That's right.
Or believe in.
That's right.
How dare you tell me that? Oh, there. Hey, what's his last name? Hey, who was his daddy?
Yeah, that's right.
Right? Who was his daddy?
Yeah, Billy.
Billy,
yeah,
another little arrogant daddy's boy.
That's right.
Just like as Cuomo. I was saying earlier, whether it's a Cuomo daddy's boy, whether it's a little Trudeau or is it true girl up in there in Canada, another little piece of murderous garbage George W. Bush crap, a daddy's boy. Yeah. Oh, I got to be fair, too. I have to be equal. What's that Cheney nothing over there shooting her fat mouth off the time all the time? It would be nobody if daddy wasn't penis Cheney.
Yep, that's right. Yeah.
So here they are, and then you read this article, right? Francis Collins, director of the National Institute, it's critically important to us that we, as an industry, continue to play a meaningful role in the fight against COVID. NASCAR president Steve Phelps said, NASCAR president, a president, who the hell are you to tell me about the efficacy of a vaccine?
That's right. Yeah, it's pretty obvious what they're doing. They're trying to suck up to the people in power because they're hoping that the CDC, another organization just like the Federal Reserve that is as private as it can be, that is now issuing orders about everything. You know, if the CDC doesn't like you, they just said no cruises, right? They don't want them to say no automobile races for NASCAR. So they're going to suck up to these people to tell you anything. And that's who they're targeting. They're targeting the people. They know that the demographics of the people who are most reluctant are male, Republican, conservative, Trump voters. And so they're going with NASCAR. They're going with the church leaders. That's how they're targeting these people. It is a propaganda campaign unlike any that we've ever seen before. Very targeted.
Unlike anything we've ever seen before.
Yeah.
Nothing. They're drug dealers. Get this in your head, everybody. Drug dealers will do anything keep selling their drugs.
You know, it's amazing, Gerald.
It perfectly.
It's amazing. I talked about this last week. When you look at what the FDA is not doing, I talked about how they came after Bluebell ice cream. A couple of years ago, they had an outbreak of Listeria, which is a bacteria that thrives in cold. And they had a couple of people who died. But it's no more people than have died with this AstraZeneca vaccine right away. And there was a lot more people that were having ice cream than were having the vaccines right now. But the FDA came in and shut them down. And now after an investigation of a couple of years, they put fines against the company. The company, you know, eventually was allowed to reopen. They cleaned everything up. They reopened. But they put massive multi-million-dollar penalties against the company. They got criminal charges against the CEO. They would never do that to a vaccine company. Never, ever. They've got legal immunity because of Fauci.
Yeah, not only that, there's another stupid thing they call campaign contributions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're called bribes and payoffs.
Yep.
We have a bunch of low-life scum called politicians, politics, sucking the life out of us that get paid off really cheaply by the lobbyists to right. do what they're told, and it's a revolving door.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Look at this guy they had. This we wrote about it in the magazine, this former FDA head, Gottlieb.
Oh, yeah.
Last year, that Gottlieb was shooting his fat mouth off about you got to be 6 feet apart. And now they're saying, well, you could be 3 feet apart. How about those? Who the hell are you talking to? You're making this crap up.
Well, Gottlieb came from Big Pharmaceutical, and now he's gone back to being a Big Pharmaceutical executive. And you got the guy that Trump brought in for HHS, Alex Azar. He was the CEO of Eli Lilly. And so he oversaw this. Eli Lilly was the point organization for all this. But, you know, last time we talked, Gerald, you were talking about Cuomo and how all the wolves are circling Cuomo because of allegations of sexual harassment. And you correctly pointed out they had no problem with him killing thousands of people in nursing homes by putting sick people in the nursing homes, right? And now we've got the same thing happening with Moncef Slaoui, the Trump vaccine czar, who came in from big pharmaceutical companies and has now gone back to big pharmaceutical companies, but now he's been kicked out of GlaxoSmithKline and this Gates-funded company that is a subsidiary of them because of sexual harassment allegations. Just like Cuomo, it doesn't matter if his vaccine kills thousands of people any more than it matters if Cuomo's policies kill thousands of people. It's about allegations of sexual harassment.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that matters.
And you know, and you know how much I can't stand Cuomo.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, some of the claims that are being made against him, too, like we took a photo, you know, and he had his arm around my waist. Okay, I mean, you know, really. You know, he kissed my hand. You know how many women's hands I've kissed in an Italian without anything sexual about it? You know, but anyway, you know, not to say the other stuff or whatever, but again, sexual allegations and all this other kind of stuff, murder doesn't count. Hey,
right.
Maybe if they caught George W. Bush, maybe he was playing around with another boy because he's a gutless little nothing clown. Well, that then they would maybe bring him, you know, to trial. But to kill a million Iraqis on a war based on lies, we won't talk about that.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and then you know, as I went back and talked about the Iraq War within the last week, I said, isn't it amazing that you have Donald Trump, who rightly criticized the Iraq War as being based on a lie, but then he promotes the woman who was head of the lies, Gina Haspel. You know, she tortured these people, presented the lies on the basis of torture, then covered up the torture, and the person who exposed it, John Kiriakou, goes to prison. Even after prison, Trump would not pardon him, but he promoted Gina Haspel to be the head of the CIA. Nothing ever changes in Washington, does it?
No. It's because, look up the quote, Eisenhower quote, he said, anyone that wants to become president, that seeks the office, is either an egomaniac or crazy.
Which That's category did he put himself in?
No, but they pulled him in.
Yeah.
He was what, the president of Columbia University.
Mm-hmm.
And is the guy also, you know, the lot of crappy things that Eisenhower did, and just for the record, that Salenti's done as well. That, you know, you don't live a perfect life.
Yeah,
of course, unless
right.
you're, you know, Joe Biden or somebody. Or no, better yet, Barack, the murderer of Obama, the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner. So I forgot where I was going with this. What are we talking about?
We're talking about Eisenhower.
Oh, yeah. He gave his farewell address. Mm-hmm. Warning the American people that the military-industrial complex
right.
was robbing the nation of the genius of the scientists, the sweat of the laborers, and the future of the children.
That's right.
This is the top general in the United States.
Yeah. And boy, it's really gotten bad
people.
Now.
Warning the people. And they've robbed us. That's it. Again, go back to the cover of the magazine. It's drug dealers and money junkies.
That's right.
All it is. It's about money. They only want to make money. They'll kill for money. And they do kill for money. And we, the moronic people of the United States, pay the bills.
That's right. You know, Pfizer, a long-established company, they had just under $10 billion. And, you know, they go back to the late 1800s. They've been around for a long time, one of the bigger pharmaceutical companies. And yet, they never wanted to go anywhere near mRNA technology. Moderna had for 10 years made their money with hopium stories on Wall Street and doing pump and dump stock trades. They'd never sold a single therapeutic or vaccine. And so on the basis of this, Moderna is going from zero to $10 billion and all on the vaccine. And then Pfizer, which had less than $10 billion as a large pharmaceutical company, they're going to make $30 billion just on this vaccine. And now they're going to, Gerald, they're talking about how they're going to use this mRNA technology for all kinds of vaccines to address all kinds of issues. And you know, we're going to be coerced to take all of those because we've now got a completely fascist government. Whether it's Republicans or Democrats, they're totally united with these pharmaceutical people because of the amount of money that's in this.
No, you nailed it. And here's the other thing, very important. They're coming out now, you know, cases are going up, deaths are going up again.
Yeah.
Now, this is a new year, right? It started last February 2020, and now we're going into April 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And as you well know, no one died of the flu last year.
Right.
No one died of pneumonia last year. They only died of the COVID. So now they're saying, okay, guess what? Yeah, it's winter time, it's flu season, it's pneumonia season, people are going to start dying again. No, Salenti, they're only dying of COVID.
That's right.
No one else dies of anything.
Right.
And people never die during the flu season, ever. Because you know why? Americans are in such great health. Only 42% are obese. Only 70% are overweight, and they're all drugged out on pharmaceutical drugs, and all they do is eat crap,
Well, we have a solution for that, Gerald. You know, have Krispy Kreme, which I like Krispy Kreme, but boy, I can't eat more than one of them. But they've got, you know, their heavily sugared donuts, and if you get your vaccine, you can take your thing there, and for a year, you can get a Krispy Kreme once a day. So, you know, obesity is not a problem, is it?
No, Krispy Kreme is great for you. It's a, you know, oh, by the way, the first book I worked on in 1986 was called Natural Healing. It was a Warner book, a big book. And I have an honorary doctorate from the National University of Health Sciences. Mm. So I do know a little thing or two about, you know, health.
Yeah.
But of course, I would depend now, the only person I would depend on telling me what to do, and I would listen perfectly to every word out of his or her ears, is that the Senate confirmed Rachel Levin as the assistant health secretary.
Yeah, exactly.
And now when you look at Levin, this thing got more chins than Chinatown.
Yeah, from both a physical standpoint and from a psychological standpoint, I don't think Levin is a healthy individual.
And now check this out. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Senator Patty Murphy, Democrat, Washington, chairwoman of the Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee, highlighted the historic nature of the confirmation. Quote, I'm proud to vote for Dr. Levin and incredibly proud of the progress this confirmation will represent for our country and for transgender people.
Whenever I introduce a segment about Levin, I always come in with the ending clip from Psycho, where he's sitting there saying, see, they'll see that I wouldn't even harm a fly, because this guy is a psycho, like Norman Bates.
No, when I talk about it, I go, Lola. L-O-L-L-O-L-A. But
it's
going
insane.
Back, you listen to this. Oh, by the way, I look up this Murphy, right? Mm-hmm. She's been like 18 years, or excuse me, 28 years playing senator.
Yeah.
Sucking off the public tit for 28 years. And how about term limits? And get this in your head. Get this in your head, Senator. You're a public servant. You're supposed to do what we tell you to do, so save your crap. And you know what she's proud of? She's proud that our country has a transgender assistant health secretary. How about finding the best person?
That's right. That's right. Well, I mean, look at what...
No, Salenti.
Look at what Duckworth is doing. You know, Duckworth and Maisie Hirono said, we're not voting for anybody that's white unless they're LGBT. Right? I mean, how racist is
Duckworth?
That?
Duckworth, nothing. Yeah. You see what these clowns look like?
Duck is not worth anything, right?
Yeah.
Duck worthless. Yeah.
Duck worthless. Duck nothing. So anyway, you go back to these people telling us what to do. Now, I find it racist against whites that the NFL and the national basketball teams have so many black people. I want to see more white people. They have too many black people.
Yeah, let's play the ratios.
Yeah, no, it's not that you want the best players. How dare you, Salenti? How dare you say we should not have the best? I got it. Hey, Patty Murphy, why don't you start the transgender league? Yeah, you could have just transgenders playing baseball, football, basketball. You know what? Yeah. So I find the NFL, I find the National Basketball Association, the NBA, they are racist against white people because they have too many black people.
You know what they should do? They should put you and I on the on an NFL team. They could put us on the offensive line, right? we could get our contract there. We would last about one down, and then we would be out. The two of us would be out of there. That's what we should do. We should push for. We should sue. We should sue Gerald.
Yeah, let's sue them. I'm going to sue the NFL and the NBA. They have, and and by the way, there are no Italian presidents in America. No Italian-American presidents. I find it against the anti-Italian.
Well, see, you should run and play the Italian card. I would vote for you. Italian or not, I would vote for you because you're interested in liberty and financial accountability. Let's talk real quickly about the markets. What's going on with the markets?
Again, the damn thing is rigged. And I think we're in a very dangerous situation right now.
Hyperinflation coming?
Yeah, inflation is here.
Oh, yeah,
it's here. You know, it's $24,000 a year, $24,000 a home. We wrote about this in the current magazine.
Mm-hmm.
$24,000 just in lumber increase in prices in homes, just in a year. Mm-hmm. And now you're finding, you know, they can't get these chips and, you know, the oil prices have gone up. Anybody that goes to the supermarket knows how bad inflation is. But the murderous, slimy, low-life pieces of garbage crap called politicians that are running our lives rig the inflation numbers. So you know how, like where I am up here in uptown in Kingston, New York, according to Bloomberg, the prices, the values of homes went up here the most in the United States, 18.1%. You don't add the value of home prices going up into the inflation index.
You have to pay no attention to that. Nobody needs a home to live in,
right? They don't put that in there. That's not in there. So it's all in your mind that the price went up.
Yeah, man.
So for me, go to Shadow Stats. John Williams has the best numbers. So, yeah, the inflation numbers are going to keep going up. So that goes back to, at some point, they're going to have to raise interest rates.
Are we going to go into hyperinflation, you think? Are we at the point where it's going to run off that you think is going to happen this year?
I don't know if it's going to be hyper, but it's going to be hurtful.
Yeah.
And I call it dragflation because the economy is going to continue to go down and the cost of everything is going to keep going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's around the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just saw it happen with the lira in Turkey when Erdogan fired the central bank guy because the guy raised interest rates because inflation was going up so high.
Mm-hmm.
And now the lira just hit an all-time low against the dollar. And so the point I'm making is that currencies are going to get cheaper and cheaper and devalued more. Inflation is going to go up, so it's going to cost everybody a lot more money to buy things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but one of the most amazing things to me was this the fact that we've got, as you pointed out, lumber has skyrocketed, but it's all kinds of things. It's chips and everything. So we completely busted the supply chain, but especially with petrochemicals because of the freeze that we had here and because it had a disproportionate effect on us because of our green renewable windmills that froze up. We then had a shortage of petrochemicals, which has created a big shortage in plastics. And plastics, of course, go into everything. When I covered this earlier this week, I played the clip. Remember the clip from The Graduate where he says, I got one word for you, plastics?
Right,
I said,
right.
No, the word is petrochemicals. But it's medical devices, it's building supplies, it's electronics, it's everything with plastics. And while this is happening because of our Green New Deal renewable energy boondoggles that we had here in Texas, and it's happening because of the massive freeze that was happening all the way across the country. What are these guys doing? You got Bill Gates out there because of global warming. He's talking about injecting stuff into the stratosphere to block out the sun, make it even worse. I mean, this is how insane everything is
right now.
The central planning and even their narratives don't make any sense to anybody who looks at this critically.
No, I agree with you. You know, it's terrible what's going on. They've robbed us of our freedom, and they're killing us.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you mentioned plastics. You know, by the way, I went to see that movie when back in the day, when the new movies came out,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
they hit the big cities first. They hit New York City and Philadelphia, you know, the big cities back in the day.
Right.
And I'll never forget, I went to the DeMille down in Manhattan to go see The Graduate.
Yeah.
And I remember that. And I had a wonderful girlfriend at the time. Of course, I was too stupid to understand. I was a young kid in my teens. But anyway, we went to see that. And when you talk about plastics, listen to this. Plummeting sperm counts, shrinking penises, toxic chemicals threaten humanity. This is from The Guardian, by the way, this week.
Yeah.
The end of humankind. It may be coming sooner than we think, thanks to hormone-disrupting chemicals that are decimating fertility at an alarming rate around the globe. A new book called Countdown by Shauna Swan, an environmental and reproductive epidemiologist at Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York, finds that sperm counts have dropped almost 60%. Since 1973.
Wow. Yeah.
Following the trajectory we are on, Swan's research suggests sperm counts could reach zero by 2045.
Yeah, that's what they're after.
And that means no human, no reproduction, no more humans.
That's right. Yeah, and it's multiple different aspects. I mean, they do it from a social standpoint, telling women you want to delay your career, you want to delay your child raising and focus on your career first. And then they said, well, it's just a social decision. We knew that it was also environmental and, the what was in the food, what was in the chemicals that we were having. But now they're going to dump on that the injections as well. They're coming after this depopulation agenda at multiple simultaneous angles. I think it'll be sooner than 2045.
All you have to do is look at yesterday's three pictures of Dorsey, Zuckerberg, and what's that guy? I keep forgetting his name from Alphabet.
Schmidt?
No.
Sundar Pichai?
Pichai.
Yeah.
You look at the three faces of these people. To me, they're aliens.
Yeah.
They are not human to me. You cannot. The geeks have inherited the earth. The King James Bible got it wrong. Not the meek. They got the letter wrong.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And they've taken over life.
Yeah.
And going back to what you said about plastics. The chemicals to blame for the crisis are found in everything from plastic containers and food wrapping. Let's stop right there. You know, I'm an Italian, of course, and I love, you know, Pecorino Romano and Parmesan cheese. And I go buy it in a store. It's not like in the old days when they had the big block and they cut it. It's wrapped in plastic.
Mm-hmm.
You take the plastic off, and you can see the shine on the cheese. I scrape it off. Yeah, the shine from the plastic. So going back to plastics and reproduction, food wrapping to waterproof clothing and fragrances and cleaning products to soap to shampoos to electronics to carpeting, some of them called PFAS are known as forever chemicals because they don't break down in the environment or the human body. They just accumulate and accumulate, doing more and more damage minute by minute, hour by hour, day after day. Now it seems humanity is reaching a breaking point. Now, I'm only mentioning this because you can see the way they're killing us.
That's right.
And yeah.
Even water.
Not a word
I mean,
about
look
this.
At how
not
many people buy bottled this. Water, you know, and you got these cheap plastic bottles. I mean, they're not BPA free. They got all the BPA plus other stuff in there. So all the water that you're drinking, and water is a solvent, and it's going to absorb a lot of that, those chemicals in that plastic bottle.
And then when you keep those plastic bottles in your car in the heat, it soaks out much, much better.
Yeah.
So it kills you in it helps you kill you in a much better way.
Yeah.
So what I'm talking about is the big picture here. They got us freaked out about the COVID war, but nobody talks about how they're killing us in 100,000 different ways.
Right.
Yeah, I know, David, you're the kind of guy that loves those GMOs. No, 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 you like those pesticides all over your food. I could see it in your eyes.
Yeah.
You can't get enough of those chemicals in your body.
Right.
No, they're fine for you, Salenti. How dare you say anything bad about those things? Oh, what are those things in the Hudson River near me over here, PCBs? Oh, they're great for you. They help build your body 12 ways.
Yeah, great all new genders.
Well, I can't wait for the transgender Olympics. That's going to be my favorite.
You're going to have to rename your publication instead of Trends Journal. It's going to have to be Trans Journal, and then you'll just go through the roof. but, yeah, it's you could do trans research. But
and maybe I can ask Lola to help me do it, you know?
It's absolutely crazy. But they have it's a very sinister agenda. And, you know, one of the things about it is the gradualism. I've talked about how these vaccines that they're injecting people with, what is really amazing about it is always in the past, it's taken a while for these things to manifest, right? And when Fauci and Slaoui put together their vaccine in just 4 months for the H1N1 swine flu, remember that when everybody around the world was dying, that pandemic?
You know, oh, yeah, I remember all the swine flus, yeah.
Right. Well, the very best documented case of vaccine issues were serious cases that came out of Scandinavia. And they're the people who've now put the kibosh on the AstraZeneca vaccine because of these blood clot issues, and they're not lifting them like the other people are. So they looked at it very carefully, and it took about a year, and it happened first in the children, but they documented the adverse effects from this Pandemrix vaccine that was put together by Slaoui and pushed by Fauci back in 2009. But what is happening now... And typically they would say, you can't prove that there's any effect from these vaccines because, see, you know, this happened over a number of years, and that could have happened with anything, right? So typically they're slow acting. And that's the way they were able to get away with the cigarette tobacco issues for a very long time because, you know, people would smoke a cigarette. They wouldn't instantly. All right, we had a computer crash and we lost the stream, but we still have Gerald Salenti on, and we wanted to wrap this up, and we'll put this all together in the final full show. We'll combine the two, and then we will put this out in the final video of the interview as well. But you were talking, Gerald, about the slow kill that is being put on us, and even as we have a fast kill, move along, there's nothing to see here, they say. I mean, they're coming after us in every direction, aren't they?
Yeah. Here's another. This is from Financial Times yesterday. Social media pressed to root out anti-vaxxers. They mentioned Dr. Mercola, and they call him an alternative medicine entrepreneur. He's not allowed to make money. But anyway.
Gerald? They're selling the idea. And we had the Secretary of State for Biden said, we think that Russia is behind this anti-vaccine information. See, it's always Russia. That tells you where they're going right there.
And Robert F. Kennedy, you know, the late Robert F. Kennedy's junior. Right. They're black. You are not allowed to come out against saying anything. But U.S. official calls AstraZeneca vaccine data into question. That's out of the Wall Street Journal. So an official could question it. But we're just official pieces of nothing. We're non-official.
That's right. Yeah. And if you question what they're doing, then you are now a Russian agent. And it was RT that pointed out that the Biden administration was doing this. Again, it was the Secretary of State who made that comment. And they said, wait a minute, we're selling vaccines. I don't want their vaccine either. But they're selling vaccines. They're not anti-vaccine. They're pro-vaccine.
And then Rutgers, as you know, they're requiring COVID-19 vaccinations for the students this fall.
It's really bad. I'm getting letters from people in all kinds of professions. Got a letter from a realtor who was saying on a weekly basis they're doing polls asking us, and she said they're not anonymous polls. They know what we're saying to them. Did you get your vaccine yet? Right? And she said, I believe that they're going to start making this mandatory to have a job in so many different areas. And we don't have any. There's one legislature, and I think it was in Wisconsin, where they introduced a bill, hasn't passed yet, but they introduced a bill that would stop this. These are public accommodations, and they're creating second-class citizens. This is a new Jim Crow law, and it's got to be stopped.
Oh, it is terrible. And, you know, you even have people now that I mentioned to you about how the so-called ad council with 128 million dollars of our dough that they're pumping into selling the vaccines.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
You even have Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
Coming out.
Well, you know, if you want to know where this is all headed, Israel is probably the best example of this. They have created this apartheid society there. Somebody even sent me a picture of a restroom and a sign at an Israeli restroom retail store. And it had, in Hebrew and in English, it said, vaccinated only. I mean, you know, we're going to have the same situation. Yeah. Only white people allowed in this bathroom type of thing. It's going to be only the vaccinated can sit at the lunch counter. Only the vaccinated can travel on transportation or use the bathroom.
And Israel was the first one that came out with the green passport. You must be vaccinated.
That's right.
And you know who's running Israel? The Ashkenazi Jews. Mm-hmm. They're from, you know, Khazar, that region, right?
Yeah.
So think of the word Ashkenazi, N-A-Z-I. And they're the first ones that are demanding that people have a green passport.
Yeah.
All aboard.
That's right.
Next train to Auschwitz.
That's right.
And put on your mask.
That's what this is. It's exactly what this is.
The Ashkenazis. That's their name. I'm not making this up.
Yeah. That's exactly.
And they are in. They've been running Israel's from Golda Meir on. Every one of them.
Well,
and they're
the
ones that are passing. They have the most percentage of people vaccinated.
Yeah.
And they're the first ones passing. If you don't have a vaccination, you can't go to a gym. You can't go here. You can't do this. You can't go to a restaurant. We wrote about it in detail in the Trends Journal.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got some lawyers in Israel pointing out that what they're doing is a direct violation of the Nuremberg Code, which was a response to the Nazis.
Too.
And that's exactly what this is. And they jumped into this. Netanyahu offered his people to Pfizer because they had not signed up with Pfizer. So when Pfizer came out and was first, they wanted to be the first ones. So they offered the entire population as a 2-year study. Because typically that's what they would do with a vaccine before they would put it out. So they said, we'll be your phase 3 study for this. We'll, you know, use our people as lab rats. And that's exactly what they're doing. It's a lab rat Nazi science, Joseph Mengele science that they're putting on people and then setting up all the worst aspects of apartheid and Jim Crow laws, all this stuff rolled into one. for the vaccine. And we don't have to. I mean, it's amazing to me how people are clamoring for this vaccine. They can't get enough of it. At least we're being told that.
I know.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, the CEO, Albert Bourla, B-O-U-R-L-A, is also, you know, he's part of the club.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
And he's doing the deal with Israel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as you said, I was out the other night and I saw a guy had a long beard. I didn't recognize him. It was all white. I knew the guy. He said, this is only my second time out in a year in a restaurant, but I feel safe now because I just got the second shot.
Well, he hasn't heard the pronouncement from the pharmaceutical industry and Fauci. Your vaccine doesn't protect you. It protects other people. So you should thank him. Say, thank you for protecting me, but you're not protected from me, right? That's the psychology they tell people. It's like your vaccine doesn't protect you. You're still going to have to wear a mask. You're still going to have to do this other stuff they keep saying, right? We'll just relax it a little bit for you. So there's a little bit of a benefit, but not much, because when they set aside the vaccinated sections at the NBA games, they said we'll have a little bit of relaxed social distancing, but nothing else. You'll still have to wear a mask, even though you're vaccinated. I mean, it doesn't even buy them anything. It's amazing to me.
I know.
Yeah. Well,
CDC director warns of possible COVID surge as U.S. cases increase by 7%. Get vaccinated. Get vaccinated.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
Well, I don't know how we roll this thing back except to just stand up to it. You know, we just have to start standing for our freedom and dignity, even if nobody else will stand with us. That's the only thing.
And we're fighting. I'm fighting. You're fighting.
Yeah.
There's no way in the world they're going to vaccinate me.
That's right. That's right. We just keep shouting it as loudly as we can. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Gerald Celente. And again, you can find his excellent publication, Trends Journal, at trendsresearch.com. I mean, he puts out a book every week. It's a great cross-section of things from politics, economics, social trends, and very entertaining with the covers that he's got there as well. Always spot on and always ahead of the trends. Thank you so much, Gerald. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you, David, for all you do. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you. All right, and that's it for our program today. Sorry about the interruption that we had at the end, but again, we'll put all those pieces together in the final show and in the interview. And thank you for joining us.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via PayPal, or donate via Venmo, Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.